other. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
I didn't get home till about 12:30 last night, and then I got up at 5 a.m. to take Jesse Ventura to the airport at 6 a.m. for a 7 a.m. flight. I just talked to Ted Anderson, who owns Genesis, who was on the same flight back. They just got back to Minneapolis. They were on the same flight on Northwest. Why is that important? Because Ventura said, listen, you got to have this guy on. It's a close race for the Senate. And, you know, he's the only anti-establishment candidate. It's the guy that Ventura appointed to the Senate for like a month whenever Senator Wellstone died mysteriously in that plane crash. And he, of course, was part of the Liberty Rally with Ron Paul. So he's a Ron Paul supporter and very closely aligned with Ron Paul. Now, I don't know what time they're coming on today because Ventura's got to get home first, but I think it's around noon or 12:30, and it's Ventura's idea to do this, so it will probably happen. But we won't just be talking about that. We spent 4 hours out at Willie Nelson's house, and that was an amazing story in and of itself. We've got close to 4 hours of interviews with Willie Nelson, and I've seen a lot of media and other people out at his place before. I've never seen him give people tours of his home. We hung out in his bedroom / den for about an hour and talked about everything. We've got Jesse and Willie on video talking about the New World Order, talking about everything under the sun for almost 4 hours. We're out there 4 hours, but I think total it's about 3.5 hours of footage. And I got two guys out here just trying to log the tapes, just trying to watch the tapes. They got in at 9 a.m. this morning. They're out there doing a great job. Jason Burmis is down here for the week to visit with us and work on some things. And also, the real reason is to get his braces. Every few months, he's got to come down to visit my dad to get his braces worked on. just absolutely amazing. So because it was an intense 4 hours out at Willie's place, on the bus, at his little town of Luck, his little town where he shoots movies with all these old real Western houses they brought in. Then at his house, then seeing his wild horses. He's got 70-something of them. And then they were running late at the event with all the other bands. Willie didn't even get there till after Jimmy Vaughn basically had gone off. And we did some live stuff, some live feeds. Some of them went out, some didn't. But we didn't. Again, I explained this to people. We were tagged on because Willie had the idea from a caller on the show to have a whole 9/11 / event, anti-war. And then he said, no, just come to my event and speak. And then it just all was crazy and wild, and that thing was overflowing with people. And Ventura was just having such a great time. He just said, whatever, let's just go do some live feeds over here, because they were going to wait. And I guess then Willie wouldn't have left till after 12:30 or so, just for us to do that. And Ventura, let me tell you something, hanging out with Ventura for 2 days, I've been around a lot of, quote, celebrities and people, and they're all, you know, interesting folks, but Ventura is a wild man. I mean, this guy, you think I have energy? This guy is just amazing and so interesting, and we shot like 2 hours driving around the car with him, so we've got almost 4 hours with Willie and Ventura, and we've probably got 2 hours, wouldn't you say, guys, 2 hours in the car with Ventura? Total, you know, and driving around. I mean, it is just really interesting footage, really powerful, and that is the big event, because we're going to put that all out on the web for everybody. Put it in high quality for folks on PrisonPlanet.tv, and it'll immediately, as we request, be ripped to YouTube and Google and rest of it. But the guys are working to get some selects, 20 minutes or so up today, just on YouTube for everybody. And then in the next coming days, it'll all be up there. Okay, the news is really serious. Let me immediately get into that on the other side of this quick break. Stay with me.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Coming up later in this hour, I'm going to air a 10-minute compilation from YouTube. The New World Order for Complete Idiots, where it just goes through clip after clip after clip after clip of world leaders calling for world government, a new world order. Got some really bad news this morning. Shelly Castillo, the Army sniper in Vietnam, the sheriff's deputy, the DEA agent who exposed government narcotics trafficking out of Elapongo down in the different areas of Central and South America, but Elapongo mainly. They set him up on gun charges because, you know, he'll go to a few gun shows. He's a school teacher, not now. And, you know, I've been to the gun show and, you know, seen him there. And he'll just sell a few of his books, powder burns, and, you know, while he's sitting there, you know, buy, sell, and trade a few guns, literally maybe one or two a month. That's your so-called Second Amendment. And they sent in a guy to sell him guns just to sting him, just to set him up. And he just got sentenced to 3 years in prison. Got his email, came in over the weekend. We had asked him to come on a few months ago to give us updates, but he said he wanted to stay quiet about it until he saw what happened. The listeners of this show are unbelievable. You are unbelievably wonderful. You raised $12,000 for him in one interview here. And that gave him some defense. And he's a school teacher in South Texas with children. And you see this over and over and over again with people that blow the whistle, how they're burned, how they're attacked, how they're set up. And it's just terrible to have seen this happen. So he's scheduled to be on with us coming up in the fourth hour today. I'm so exhausted from only getting about three and a half hours sleep last night that I was going to have Jason Burmes sit in for the last 2 hours today. But he definitely, while he's here this week, he wants to sit in. I'm going to have him sit in probably for a whole show or more. But he'll definitely be riding shotgun with us today. I just got this Shelly message this morning, and I think I need to interview him because I know the case better. But I don't know. Let me call him in here. Hey, Burmes! He's out there talking to somebody. Hey, guys, will you call Burmes in here? Hey, bro, come on in here for a minute. Let me just ask you a question.
Sure thing.
Are you familiar with the Shelly Castillo case?
Yes, Powder Burns is his book, yes.
Well, he got convicted, I guess, last Friday. He emailed us over the weekend. I know I had you sitting in the last 2 hours today.
Mm-hmm.
But what? How many days are you here? You leave Thursday or Friday?
I leave Thursday morning, so I'll only be here till Wednesday afternoon. I think I leave at like 6 or 7 in the morning.
Thursday?
Yeah. So good to be here, Alex, by the way.
Hey, Burmes, just real fast, I want to have you in later about this. What was it like 4 hours at Willie's house getting the grand?
It was just awesome, man. I mean, it's just like
treatment.
Such a humble guy, such an awesome piece of property. He lives very modestly.
Up on a mountain.
Yeah, and, you know, it just, you know, I'm an upstate New York guy. I'm a country guy. And just to see the guy, you know, he doesn't live in a big lavish mansion or whatever. And the room he really likes to hang out in is what, like maybe 20 by 40? You know, that last room he showed us. So it was really cool to be with somebody that down
there. It was his bedroom there at the little table with the checkers.
No, not that one. I'm talking about the little den that he took us to later in the day.
Oh, the little side house.
Yeah, the little side house. It's like, oh, I like to hang out here. And then the bus is so narrow, and he likes to hang out there. It just was so cool, and you can see his generosity. There were a lot of horses out there that he'd rescue. You could tell they weren't like...
That 70-something rescued Mustangs.
Yeah, yeah. And you could tell that they were rescued horses, that they would have been slaughtered otherwise. So, you know, he had a great heart. And just to hang out with Jesse Ventura, too, man. I mean, you were there. It was great.
Two of them together, it was crazy.
Oh, it was a him, and, you know, PrisonPlanet.com and PrisonPlanet.tv is going to be putting that stuff up. It's awesome. I mean, I'd want to be a member. I was a member. I mean, this is stuff that if I wasn't there, I'd want to see.
Well, regardless, everybody's going to get to see it.
Yeah.
The members just get it in the high quality. And I always feel like I'm kind of hurting them, not just having it exclusively for them, but I'm happy that folks grab and put it all over the web because that's our main mission. As long as we can pay the bills,
mm-hmm.
we're happy. But anyways... And we also sent out Jimmy Vaughn's transmission. and some live reports from Jesse Ventura and some others. Now, I'm not sure how many people even saw those. Some people commenting saying, we didn't see you in Ventura, or we didn't see you guys speaking, and we did a bunch of live reports there. So I'm, but that's all saved on a DVD.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing about it, live on the web, well, we recorded it there.
Mm-hmm.
So regardless, we need to call David. Because he was out there videoing that with the web stuff. We need to get that DVD because that
has the line audio.
Well, yeah. I mean, that way we can just take that and put that on the web, and it's so much quicker than having to dump our tapes and go through all that. But
very exciting. You know, you're in a crowd of 5,000 people. Jesse Ventura is there. You're there. The lights are on. We're talking about peace. I mean, it was awesome, Alex. It was just so cool to be back there. I talked to Jimmy Vaughn. He was very nice to me. I mean, just a dream come true day. I mean, a life experience like no other. I couldn't trade this in for any vacation in the world, Alex.
Absolutely. Again, I'm operating on about 3 hours sleep here. Because we left about midnight, and then I went and dropped Ventura off at the hotel at the Driscoll, and then we came over here to the office and talked about 30 minutes, and I went home. I got home about 1:15, and then, man, 4:55. I slept in the guest bedroom, so I wouldn't wake my wife up, and I don't even know why I'm talking about that right now. I'm in zombie mode. But you know what? A huge weight is off me, because this whole thing was, you know, first it was Willie on air. He's like, yeah, set the venue, have a huge event. He goes, well, I'm real busy. Just come to this event. I'm like, you want me to go to the last backyard and have us, you know, be inserted into this and do this with people that are already there? The thing was basically already sold out, but then it went pretty well, so it's done, and I'm happy. But the event is going to be these interviews, because, folks, you know, I don't hype up interviews unless they're really big. Amazing stuff. I mean, amazing, amazing video. And then there were some times we switched the cameras off. That was even more amazing. But it was it was definitely, I mean, something else.
Absolutely. And, you know, just to get an insight, someone who's lived life like Jesse Ventura, I mean, we talked about not only his wrestling career, acting career, and governor career, but his music career as well, and his dealing with Virgin Records. I mean, it was just so cool,
Alex. He was a bodyguard for the Rolling Stones.
Yeah. I mean, it was just craziness. I mean,
he was telling all these military stories, and then telling stories about catching poachers on his little lake.
Yeah, can you imagine Jesse Ventura
pulling up with a machine gun?
Yeah, I mean, just like you're out there, you're fishing on, you know, illegal property, and you think you're going to get away with it, and all of a sudden this 6'5" monster comes up to you, and you're like, oh my God, this is Jesse Ventura, and he's like, what are you doing here? And it's just, you know, it was
some great. People were saying, you know, Jesse, when I first met him about 2 years ago, was so skinny and perfect shape for his age, you know, looked total, and then now he's gained some weight and stuff. Well, Jesse, 9 months ago, had a hip replacement.
Yeah.
And so he's been back in the U.S., and he hadn't been able to jog or anything. But now the hip replacement did well. You know, you're not supposed to run for a long time to make it really set right. Now it's good. Now he's just about to get back into running and everything. So that's really great. I mean, he's just an amazing guy. And, well, wait till you see the video, folks. I mean, you know, us in there arguing about the New World Order, all having heated discussions. I mean, Willie Nelson, Alex Jones, and Jesse Ventura. It's quite a mix. I mean,
it is quite a mix. And, you know, just to get, you know, Willie Nelson on the record about these global issues is great. You know, he seemed really informed. He had the little XM radio going on. He's like, I listen to Air America. And we're like, yeah, Air America's good. But, you know, some of the guys he listens to, you've had on the show, Alex, people like Mike Malloy, who have brought 9/11 truth out. So Willie's very aware of that. And that was very nice to see. And, you know, Jesse was rocking a shirt yesterday that said Obama, McCain, and anyone else. And he had anyone else checked off. And a lot of people were making comments while I was, you know, taping you guys, and they saw that shirt. They're like, anyone else? Oh, I'm a McCain supporter. I'm an Obama supporter. And it's nice to see that now he is around that. Because when you first interviewed him, he's like, watch out, Barack Obama, for an assassination. But it seems he's kind of gotten beyond that and sees, you know.
Well, since then, Obama has said he's for the wiretapping without warrants. And since then, oh, maybe we need to go ahead and stay in Iraq.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's why Ventura, when he was saying, you know, in the war and do all this, oh, well, maybe he's good, but as soon as he backed off on that.
Yeah, but I mean, he's hoodwinked a lot of people, Obama, and it's nice to see that he has not hoodwinked Jesse Ventura. He's left the run for a presidential run open in the next 4 years. I hope that he runs, folks. I mean, this guy, I really believe this is the guy that can help save the Republic. He's the everyman. He may not be
everything. I mean, knowing this, actually, you know, because I've been around him a few other times and interviewed him a lot, but being in person with him for 2 days, driving him around, eating with him, hanging out, you guys hanging out with us at the Driscoll and everywhere else, I mean, he is the real deal.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just a real person. Mm-hmm. And
you can tell when he gets hyped up because he starts moving around. I mean, you know, we were having that discussion before, and like first half of the day, he wasn't moving around a lot. But when he gets really emotional, you can tell he's very, very.
Well, let's just boil
animated.
It down. I could hardly get an interview in the car because you guys were arguing so much back and forth. So you got Jesse hanging over the seat in the front when me driving through traffic, screaming at you guys.
We were talking North American Union. It got a little heated, you know. You know, Jesse's an ardent supporter of no borders, and, you know, we talked
about... Well, I mean, he wants sovereignty, but, you know, in his words, hey, what's wrong with these brown people?
Mm-hmm.
And our whole point is the globalists openly in their own documents, and we were sourcing them, say that they want to drive down the wages, break down the cohesion, not just of the U.S., but other nations, and that national sovereignty is their enemy. And I mean, and then also, I'm like, Jesse, I understand you're a nice guy, and you're friendly, and you don't care about what's happening in Mexico. The point is, their government's taught them this belongs to Mexico. Gringos are bad. And, you know, we've educated him a lot. We're going to bring him the rest of the way along on that, I guarantee. I mean, look how much we've already deprogrammed Jesse Ventura.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, once he realizes it's more about a consolidation of power, it's about a North American Union, a European Union, a Pan-American Union, a Eurasian Union, so that they can consolidate into this one world government, I think he's going to see the bigger picture. And you did mention to him, and they'll see this on the web soon, Tragedy and Hope, Carol Quigley, the Roundtable Group, Rhodes Scholars. I think we got to get him a little acquainted with G. Edward Griffin's work. You know,
yeah.
Maybe that would be good for him. I think give him The Creature from Jekyll Island and let him watch the New World Order speech that he gives that lecture. I think that would be really good for Jesse to understand that even though that sounds good on the future, I mean, I'm all for personal freedom across the world. If tomorrow I could change the world and everybody was free, I'd be all for it. But that's not the reality of the situation. They're going to try to bring this global government in through us consenting to it.
Exactly. Hey, Jason Burmese, thanks for coming in. All right, I'm going to hit all the hard news when we get back. It's good having Burmese back in Austin.
This is the end. Beautiful prayer. This is the end, my only friend, the end of our elaborate plans, the end of everything that stands, the end, no safety or surprise, the end.
I'll never look into your eyes. Of the news I need to get to. Man, this is all super heavy.
Can you picture?
Senator predicts revolution if banks don't lend.
So
what have we been telling you for weeks? They're hoarding the cash. They're giving none of it to the public or to Main Street corporations. The big central banks orchestrated the financial collapse so that they could drive down the economy even more, then claim it was a bailout, give themselves trillions of dollars to buy up the assets while they hyperinflate the currency. So they're depressing the price of everything to consolidate it. Once they own even more, it's going to go hyperinflationary. It already is on Main Street. Senator predicts revolution if banks don't lend. Dodd highlights rising public anger at credit crunch and says, it looks like the banks are hoarding the cash. Yeah, of course they are. And then, oh, look, the market's going down more. Give us even more. Oh, look, it's going down even more. Give us even more. By the way, they're not cutting your interest rates on cars and houses and everything. People are getting higher and higher interest rates if they try to buy a house or a car. But they're talking about cutting it down to 1%. That's only for the banks. Perino, the White House press secretary, says, we'll just have to trust our secretary on banker takeover. And Kurt Nemo did a great story at Infowars.com with all the quotes where they're admitting, the mainstream news is admitting, that the banker takeover is pretty much secret. They're just giving each other hundreds of billions of dollars, and it's all secret. And they said, we'll just need to trust them. EU calls for new world governance. This is a 10-minute clip, and I would play it, but a lot of it's in French and Spanish, and it shows them, but then it cuts back to people in English, including the head of the EU, where they're calling it New World Order, New World Governance. I mean, you get to hear it all. Wise Up Journal did a report on that. We have a link to it up on Infowars.com. EU calls for New World Governance. I mean, every day I see scores of videos and news articles where they're just openly saying a world government run for and by the banks. Britain may need 0% interest rate to avoid a depression, leading economist warns. But again, that's for the banks, not the people. Bernanke battles big-time economic erosion with new rate cuts. We'll be getting into that. And then getting on to financial news, Syria condemns U.S. raid as terrible crime. A helicopter attack, blowing up some houses in a village, killing at least 8 civilians on a Syrian farm. I mean, this is the type of just rogue behavior going on that makes us look like absolute demons worldwide. And then there's all this police state news. Police will be able to check the identities of people in the street using mobile fingerprint scanners all over the U.S., the Western world, period. They're putting in thumb scanners in the cars. See, they got your thumbprints when you go get your driver's license, as I told you under the executive order back in the mid-90s they were planning. Here it is. ACLU says 2/3 of the U.S. population lives in constitution-free zone. Before 9/11, we had these Agenda 21 125-mile zone, and because 2/3 of the U.S. population lives on the coastlines and on the borders, that's 2/3 of the population. Now, they don't search you when you come across the border, generally. The reports are coming in that it's at these zones, 50 miles, 100 miles, you know, past major cities, and they stop and search you. And again, it's all in the name of stopping the illegal alien invasion when they selectively enforce and don't stop that. And so, again, they sell it in the name of ending illegal immigration. It has nothing to do with that. And, you know, we've protested and covered it and gone out there with our cameras at the FEMA camp in Taylor, Texas, north of Austin, where they take whole immigrant families without due process, anything, their children, all of them. There's playgrounds behind the barbed wire with these kids running around in their uniforms. There's footage of that in Endgame. And no, I'm against that. Due process. But again, they know how to play psychological games. That is just some of the news I've got. We're going to detail more of it on the other side and then play this clip called The New World Order for Complete Idiots, which is extremely powerful. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This is not America. The little beats in me will die.
This is not a miracle.
For this is not America.
We are back live. Thank you for joining us. Jesse Ventura had the idea yesterday to come on the radio today or tomorrow to talk about Dean Barkley, who he appointed to be senator because the state's previously, through the legislatures, appointed senators. That's because the people were voting in the state, and we controlled the federal government through the states. And so the senators were, again, elected by the people because they were appointed through the legislature, elected by the people. But with the 17th Amendment, that was removed. But a vestige of that back in 1913 remained, that if a senator died, you always wonder how, when a senator dies or a congressman dies, how suddenly, generally, their wife or sometimes their chief aide is the senator or congressman, the House member for the next year, 6 months, sometimes 2-3 years. That's because governors can appoint the senator for the rest of that term, and he appointed Dean Barkley, so you can give him the title senator. And he Barkley called me last week and wanted to get on the show, and I just got busy and didn't get back with him. He was part of the Campaign for Liberty there at the Ron Paul event as well. Great guy, great platform. And Ventura is really good friends with him. He started telling me, listen, you got to get him on. You got to promote the campaign. It's close. He's got a chance to beat Franken and the other guy. And the Minnesota senator is a big deal. So that's an important voice to have. So, but by a stroke of fate, Ted Anderson this morning, it's flew out on the same flight, I guess, at 7:30. Their flight left about 30 minutes late. It was be a 7 a.m. flight. I dropped him off there at 6 a.m. But Ted was on the same plane with Ventura. So I would have thought Ventura would already been back, but about 30 minutes ago, right before I went on air, Ted called. Was like, hey, we just got off the plane with Ventura. So he's got to get home, and I got to line that up. So sometime next hour or the hour after that, Ventura is going to be on, talk a little bit about what happened here in Austin as well. Great time with Willie out at his place for 4 hours. And then some of the live reports we did out there. But mainly we'll be talking about Dean Barkley. And then poor Sally Castillo, great patriot, shut up, convicted 3 years in prison. And so we'll be talking to him coming up in the fourth hour today. All right, let me get into the news here. Senator predicts revolution if banks don't lend, prisonplanet.com. This is an important article on many facets. Senator predicts revolution if banks don't lend. The revolution issue is a big deal. And then the fact that he's talking about banks are not lending. You see, they're hoarding the cash. Now, you're going to pay for that cash with tax money. You're going to pay that back because that's how the bankers set it up. When money's created, they get the interest. And then you get to pay through inflation. I mean, who comes up with stuff like this? I mean, and you try to convince the public when it's all stated, you know, openly, and they say, oh, there's nothing sophisticated. There's nobody that knows how to do anything like that in the elite. They just run things because they're idiots. That's why they're in power. Yeah, that's right. In this hyper-competitive world, the elite tells you what they're doing to you in giant white papers and government reports, but the public just, oh, no, they don't know how to wipe their noses or tie their shoelaces. I more and more just look at the abject denial. But that denial is starting to go away. People are getting it. Senator predicts revolution if banks don't lend. Dodd highlights rising public anger at credit crunch bailout. Senator Christopher Dodd has shockingly predicted that public anger at banks' refusal to disperse credit could lead to revolution, while another analyst says government intervention could mean banks are cut out of the loop entirely. It turns out that they are hoarding. You'll have a revolution on your hands. People will be so livid and furious that their tax money is going to line the pockets instead of doing the right thing. There will be hell to pay. Well, that's why they've got the face scanning cameras and the gate cameras of how you walk and the heat residence cameras and the plate scanners and the SWAT teams and the FEMA camps. The British Ministry of Defense report says they're going to take everything we've got in the U.S. and England and Europe, and the people are going to rebel and that the troops are going to have to slaughter us in the streets. And because they work for the bankers, whether they know it or not. If it turns out they're hoarding, you'll have a revolution on your hands. People will be so livid and furious that their tax money is going to line the pockets instead of doing the right thing. There will be hell to pay, Dodd told the New York Times this weekend. Yeah, and will the public ever figure out the hyperinflation, devaluing their paycheck and their currency? And they've got to pay it back in tax money? Do you think they're going to get mad then? No, they're just going to find out that they weren't given the money that was theirs to begin with. You know, it's bad enough that it'd be like the bankers loaning us our own money. That's how the scam works. And then we have to pay interest on it. It'd be bad enough if they just gave it to us because nothing's free. We're going to have to pay for it. But instead, you get nothing but slavery. Let me read Senator Dodd again from the New York Times today. If it turns out that they are hoarding, you'll have a revolution on your hands. People will be so livid and furious that their tax money is going to line the pockets instead of doing the right thing. There will be hell to pay, Dodd told the New York Times this weekend. Meanwhile, Chief Investment Strategist Sean Corrigan from Dipson Commodities Management told CNBC this morning that the banks may have to be cut out of the loop if the freeze in credit markets continues, forcing governments to act as the lender of last resort. Corrigan said that banking was a business which is desperately in need of a call in the world, but nobody wants a bank to go down for fear that they will bring other banks down, so we're locked ourselves into this position. Saying that the big mistake by central banks was the move not to save banking, but to save individual banks, Corrigan stated. Ultimately, yes, if the banks don't restart, the authorities will have to start acting as the monetizers of last resort. They'll have to start dispensing commercial credit between non-financial institutions and cut banking out of the loop if necessary. As the George Washington Blogspot documents, the banks have openly stated that they will keep hoarding cash no matter how much money the Fed gives them. Well, that's the whole point. Now, I told you this years ago. I told you this months ago. I told you this weeks ago. You're not going to get that money. You're just going to pay to give it to the offshore banks. You're going to pay so when your city goes bankrupt, they've got lobbyists to come in and pay off your politicians. Your money's going to come right back to pay off politicians to hand over infrastructure to the bankers so they can triple your tolls on those roads and triple the price of your water and everything. And there are going to be more cops writing more tickets. And there's going to be more checkpoints. And there's going to be more homes being taken. And they're massively increasing the number of IRS enforcers now and giving them basically Homeland Security Patriot Act powers. Well, not basically. They are. That was also in the banker bailout bill, but in previous bills beefing it up where they can, they're like CIA agents, just do whatever they want. Of course, it's all on its face criminal. It's lawless. But these people are absolutely out of their minds. And by out of their minds, I mean out of their minds just ravenously grabbing up everything. I mean, they consciously know what they're doing, but it's still a form of insanity. We're going to cover more of this later. We've got the Treasury Secretary, the White House spokesperson, White House press secretary talking about the Treasury Secretary and saying, well, we're not allowed to see any of these documents. But that's okay, because we just trust our Treasury Secretary. All right, here's this video clip. It's up on PrisonPlanet.com. I sent it to you last week, John. I forgot the title. It's New World Order for Complete Idiots. The Complete Idiot's Guide to the New World Order. And we'll play it and play the last few minutes of the next segment. Stay with us.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it.
Of the national capital today, black limousines with darkened windows converged on a hotel where private security guards imposed ironclad control. The limos carried royalty, political power brokers, and industrial titans to a secret meeting that will last all weekend. It's known as the Bilderberg Group. Could their objective be world domination?
The Council on Foreign Relations. Professor Carol Quigley is allowed to examine the confidential papers and secret records of this network. Quigley reveals that these men aim to create a world system of financial control in private hands, able to dominate the political system of each country and the economy of the world as a whole. In short, they seek total and quiet control of the entire world. And the CFR is their most visible conduit for carrying out that agenda.
What I'm about to say is fact. The secret organizations of the world power elite are no longer secret. They have planned and are now leading us into a one-world communist government.
CNN has even reported that these individuals have put out the policy reports through the Council on Foreign Relations that writes their scholarly white papers to end the United States, to end Canada, and to end Mexico.
I hate to break it to you, but after 2 years of denying it and saying this can't be, it's the only reason that I have found that explains everything that's going on in our country with the border. Our country has been sold out in the name of global profits and votes at the ballot box. This is where the Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America, or SPP, comes in. This little agreement, international agreement, cooked up by President Bush, the former president of Mexico, and the Prime Minister of Canada. Their mission is to blur or completely erase the borders between Canada, U.S., and Mexico.
Dinero is the proposed new currency for the North American community, which is being developed right now between Canada, the U.S., and Mexico to make a borderless community, much like the EU, and the dollar, Canadian dollar, U.S. dollar, and the Mexican peso replaced by the Dinero.
Security and Prosperity Partnership, which critics call nothing more than a North American union. It means open borders, commerce at all costs, and by the way, without the approval of either American voters or the U.S. Congress.
And very important.
Is it going to be like the euro dollar, you mean?
Well, that would be long, long term.
Now, even the economists supporting the so-called globalism, and it's not free trade.
Worse, critics say foreign policy elites are promoting a European-style union, erasing borders between the three countries, and eventually moving to a single North American currency called the Amero.
Via 4,000-mile network of new toll roads with truck and car lanes, rail lines, pipeline, and utility zones. Its projected cost, $183 billion over 50 years.
By default of this agreement, the American Constitution will eventually be obsolete. You would think that a situation like this would be on the cover of every major newspaper. That is until you realize that the people who are behind this movement are the same people behind the mainstream media, and you are not told what you're not supposed to know. The North American Union is the same concept as the European Union, the African Union, and the soon-to-be Asian Union, and the same people are behind all of them. And when the time is right, the North American Union, the European Union, the African Union, and the Asian Union will be merged together.
Vice President Dick Cheney takes a question from David Rockefeller.
Vice President, I just enjoyed so much your whole speech, but I was particularly pleased that you gave such a strong endorsement for the free trade agreement for all the Americans.
It's good to be back at the Council on Foreign Relations. As Pete mentioned, I've been a member for a long time and was actually a director for some period of time. I never mentioned that when I was campaigning for re-election back home in Wyoming.
I've never registered as a Republican, but generally speaking, but I think most Americans now say neither side, they're both selling us out.
One who supported giving President Bush the authority, if necessary, to use force against Saddam Hussein.
Well, I have a number of people from whom I get policy. I'm talking to Frank Gaffney. I talked to Richard Haass.
Richard Haass served under Colin Powell during this Bush administration over at the State Department. He's now the president of the Council on Foreign Relations.
Of a one world community, a new world order. You know, they see that.
They see themselves as a government as opposed to a group of world leaders or people with influence at a global level who are talking about global issues, do they?
They see themselves as headhunters. They'll get an up-and-coming politician who they think may be president or prime minister one day, and as globalist industrialist leaders who believe that politics shouldn't be in the hands of the politicians.
People talk to me about, you know, the issue of Republican versus Democrat as if they don't get it. And I say, look, here's the way you get it. It's organized crime. All you do is you call the Republicans the Genoveses, and you call the Democrats the Gambinos. The people at the top, they treat it like a crap game, like it's their crap game, like they're making lots of money. Occasionally, somebody at the table shoots each other, but the moment anything threatens their crap game, they all unite to protect it. They're both controlled by the same financial, economic, and corporate interests.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order.
It used to be more secretive. You know, the new world order was talked about 30 or 40 years ago, and nobody would say it out and open. Now they talk about the new world order, or they just think the world would be better off if we had one world government. I don't. I mean, I don't even like the size of our federal government, let alone one.
All right, stay there. Stay there. We're going to come back, finish up the last few minutes of this, get into a bunch of other news. And later we are going to be having Ventura and Dean Barkley pop in about election and a lot more. And then Sonny Costello, convicted, 3 years.
Day after day, alone on a hill, the man with the foolish grin is keeping perfectly still.
Prime ministers calling for a new world order, discussions of it in the news, but there are thousands of clips of professors and university heads and bankers and think tanks and the UN and the Club of Rome and the CFR and Trilateral Commission and books written by German chancellors and British prime ministers. I mean, just openly admitting how they run everything, how they do it. I mean, it's all stated by them. It's like I read a TV guide here on air every day and tell you what's going to be on TV. And people are like, oh, is it true? Or how does he know all this? I mean, it's not even hard. It's just all admitted. Let's finish up with this clip.
There's a need for a new world order.
Within the next 4 years, we will see the emergence of a new international order.
The beginning of a new international order.
But there's a very, very clear-cut and easily identifiable system in place that puts all of these elements from media control to government control to energy control together into one apparatus working together effectively towards its final goal, which is, you know, global control.
A new world is emerging. It is a new world order.
It's a phrase that I often use myself, that we needed a new world order.
There is a chance for the President of the United States to use this disaster to carry out what his father, a phrase his father used, and that is a new world order.
They're inside a cabal, conspiracy if you will, to take control of the United States, lead us into a one world government run by them.
Americans have been taught the specter of salvation from government instead of recognizing government as the most dangerous threat they'll face in their lives.
All right, folks, while I'm playing that clip, I'm talking to Ventura right now. Jesse, I'll call you right back. I tell you, folks, I'm in here doing production because I was working out that gift. So I'm here playing clips and doing production here on the phone while I'm at it. I need to go ahead and call Ventura back and then call Dean Barkley and I guess go ahead and get those guys on. We'll go ahead and do it about 8 after. That's why this radio show has such total transparency now. We don't have time to even cut liners separately from the live show, so we do it on the radio. We do behind the scenes now most of the times where we're live on video even during the breaks. And it's kind of neat, though, but people can get an idea of what really goes on around here and how we're flying by the seat of our pants. I don't know how the idea has gotten out there that I'm like some super mastermind brainiac and we're all slick and all-knowing and all-controlling the Patriot movement when I'm always actually trying to control you know, the dog not getting out of the fence and getting run over. And, you know, I'm trying to control dealing with my taxes and trying to control dealing with heartburn. there's so much news and information coming up. I'm gonna go ahead and I shouldn't have gotten off the phone with Ventura because I needed to finish that, but I was kind of caught there with the clip ending. So we'll come back and we will get Ventura and them on the show. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Okay, folks, we got Jesse Ventura coming up in the next segment, and we'll briefly talk about the great time we had here in Austin for almost 4 hours with Willie Nelson out of his ranch, and then some of the live reports we did out there from the event, and we're not sure if some of that went out over the web. They had kind of a bad internet connection out there, but we've got the tapes, and it's all going to go on the internet. But we're mainly talking about the election and several other issues, and Dean Barkley, and the chance he's got to win the Senate up there. So that is coming up. And then Shelley Castillo, falsely accused and set up by the BATF, you know, the former DEA agent who blew the whistle on government drug dealing, one of many, but one of the most prominent, one of the first big ones. So he'll be coming up and joining us in about 2 hours from now. He was convicted 3 years in prison. And so that is coming up. Earlier, I played a clip of all these world leaders and others calling for a new world order, world government. It's all over the news today, where they're just intensifying the call for the bankers to run everything. And they're saying, you don't have a choice. We'll destroy the economy if you don't give us total power. And meanwhile, when they're given the total power, they just squeeze even tighter. They're just completely ruthless. So that is coming up. But John, pull up Renegades, because I need to give you the number for Ventura and line that up. And let's go out of this break. We're about a minute with Renegades, or we can play that Mad as Hell clip you put together, or, you know, one of those. In fact, that's probably a good one to play. And then we'll get our guest on. I'm a little bit bumpy today because I went to bed about 1:30, and I got up at 4:55 to go pick Ventura up and take him to the airport for his flight out at 7. They had headwinds. That's why he's late. And it took him 4 hours to get back instead of 2.5 down here. Boy, a headwind can really do that. John? All right, we're going to go out a break here with Renegades while we get our next guest lined up. Stay with us.
From Nazareth he came with a ragtag band. Some would make him king, others couldn't stand for that. The cross was a solution, but he rose again. Wise men follow him, but he rose again. Wise men follow him. Thank God for the Renegades and the lions they lead. Far ahead of their time. Without the Renegades, Lord knows where we'd be. When it comes to heroes, Renegades are mine. We'll be right back. declaring independence. Laid their bodies down on a bloody war, and liberty for their descendants. Thanks to the renegades, free today. Thanks to the renegades, we're free today. Thank God for the renegades and the lives they lead. Far ahead of their time, without the renegades, Lord knows where we.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Previously, but really getting to spend a few days with him and ride around all over Central Texas with him and hang out for almost 4 hours yesterday with Willie Nelson out at his ranch, and then last night doing live reports from out there at that event that had so many bands, so many people crammed into it for the last day at the backyard. It was just it was wonderful. We're going to spend a few minutes on that and Jesse's overall view on the election and the t-shirt he was wearing yesterday that I think said it all succinctly. And then we're going to talk about somebody who is actually trying to take action and who was, you know, there at the Ron Paul Campaign for Liberty, somebody who is, pro-liberty, pro-freedom. The other two are bad to worse, with the Republican and the Democrat that Dean Barkley is running against in Minnesota. This is a chance to get the guy that got Jesse Ventura into politics, a guy that, according to what Jesse's been telling me, is just the best thing since sliced bread, into the Senate. It's a close race. So we're going to be talking about that in a few minutes. But first off, Governor, I just dropped you off at 5:55 at the airport, and here we are again.
Yeah, Alex, I feel like you're in my back pocket. I've been together with you so much. No, no, the flight got delayed a little bit, and so I got into Minneapolis a little later than expected. I didn't actually touch down on the ground until about a little over an hour ago.
And you had some headwinds, too, didn't you?
Yeah, I think so. It must have been, because, like I said, it got delayed about 15 at Austin, and then it actually ended up a delay of about 40 flying through the air, so there must have been some pretty good winds up there.
Well, your flight was
a little bit, you know, but it's a good flight because you walk away from it.
Well, your flight was 30 minutes early getting here, so yeah, I guess you had tailwinds then. Well, bottom line, you got back safe, and we appreciate you coming down. Hey, what was the – I mean, you've been out at Willie's place before, but we got the grand – treatment this time. That was pretty amazing.
Oh, it was a lot of fun. You know, Willie owns a beautiful ranch down there in Austin. He sits right on top of the hill. The view from his place is just breathtaking. And his place is very uniquely built, so architecturally and all that. So it's a lot of fun to walk around it and see it. And then, of course, he's got his whole western town out there that you can spend time in. It's like walking onto the set of Gunsmoke. And so going to Willie's is always an adventure. He's a terrific guy and one heck of a talent. Of course, I'm speaking to the choir because, you know, everybody in Texas knows that well and around the country knows it well. But he's just a basic guy. What I love about Willie is that for all the fame and fortune that Willie has, he's still a down-to-earth type guy who really has feelings for the regular human being out there. And you can tell it by what Willie does, you know, with all of his farm aid. He's always out to help people. In fact, that's probably one of his problems, is he always tries to help people too much, you know, and he gets caught up in all the things that he's doing all the time, and I'm sure it's difficult to keep it all straight for him.
Yeah, certainly, a lot of stuff going on. Shifting gears into the election overall, tell us about that T-shirt.
Oh, well, I actually got that T-shirt I was wearing in Arizona when I was out there doing 9/11 for the anniversary and out there. And it's a big red T-shirt, and at the top, in white lettering, it says 2008 election, and it's got McCain with a box, Obama with a box, and anyone but with a box. And on this particular T-shirt, anyone but has the check mark. Not Obama and not McCain, anyone but. And that's kind of how I feel, Alex, because I won't vote Democrat. I won't vote Republican. They're the ones that have gotten us into this economical mess. I think I said it before on your show. I'll say it again. Nobody in these two parties paid attention to that federal deficit. They're still not paying attention to that federal deficit. And we cannot have a vibrant economy when you have that type of debt hanging over your head constantly. They must cut government spending. Must do that in which to get rid of that debt. And once they get rid of that debt, the economy and the value of the dollar will start coming back.
You've had more time now. I mean, you were against it from day one, but you've had more time to look at the bailout. I've got the New York Times, Senator Dodd today. Senator predicts revolution if banks don't lend. That's the New York Times. He says that they're hoarding the money. That they're not even giving it out to get the economy going.
Well, then why did we give it to them?
It's unbelievable.
It's our money, and it's supposed to come back to us, isn't it? I mean, I don't understand the whole thing to begin with. It's like robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Absolutely. And
It's confusing because it's our money. So in other words, we're giving our money to the government, who's giving it to the banks, who then are supposed to give it back to us?
Yeah, let me read the quote. This is Senator Dodd, New York Times, Sunday. If it turns out they're hoarding, you'll have a revolution on your hands. People will be so livid and furious that their tax money is going to line their pockets instead of doing the right thing. There will be hell to pay, Dodd told the New York Times this weekend.
Well, you know, Alex, it doesn't surprise me because has George Bush done anything right yet?
Well, he's done stuff right for his buddies, but no.
No. I mean for the country and in his job.
No.
I can't think of one thing that he's done right yet. So why would I think that all of a sudden he will do something right when he's only got a couple months to go till he jumps ship and leaves us all on this big sinking ship that he put holes into?
I'm laughing, but I'm almost crying here.
Well, no, it's pathetic. You do want to cry about it. But, I mean, you know, I urge everybody. People may not be an Oliver Stone fan, but go see the movie W. Because it'll show you really kind of, in its own way, a bit of a sarcastic look on Bush's life. And you see that everything he did, he left in disarray. Everything.
Well, he's certainly a puppet. Before we get into Dean Barclay, and I want to get into that in just a minute, you never said vote for Barack Obama, but I remember about 8 months ago here on the show, you said, because he was saying he was going to get us out of the war, he was going to say no to wiretapping, and you said, look out, Barack Obama, look out for assassination. But now it seems you've soured towards him even more in the interviews we did.
Oh, well, because he's already fudging, for lack of better term. You know, now it's, well, we're not going to immediately leave Iraq. And now it's, well, you know, we're not going to do this. We're not going to do that. See, he's getting caught up into the same two-party quagmire or the two-party dictatorship that we now live under. I'll be the first one, and I hope that Alex, I hope I can say I'm wrong. I hope I can come on your show a year or two from now and say, you know, I was wrong, Alex, because I'll admit when I'm wrong. I have no problem with that. I'm not a perfect person, and I hope I can do it. But all these people that think this massive change is going to take place because you're now going to elect a Democrat, I got news for you, people. Democrats have been getting elected for a long, long time, and nothing changes.
They've been in there since 2006. The war's still going.
That's right, and there's not any hint that we're getting out any sooner or anything of that nature. You know, it's laughable to the point you want to cry.
Now, there is a silver lining to all this. Let's get into Senator, because he was there for a month or so after Wellstone's tragic death in that plane crash. Dean Barclay, tell us about this guy, and it's a close race, and we're coming down here in the last 8-9 days.
Dean is sitting right now. Let me put it to you this way for you and all your listeners, Alex. There would be no Governor Jesse Ventura without Dean Barclay, Senator Dean Barclay, because he was the guy up here in Minnesota that went out on the line before I ever got involved much in politics, and he ran and got my party, the Independence Party, the third party movement of Minnesota going by gaining. He got enough votes and he busted his butt that he got us in our state, if you get over 5% of a statewide vote, that then makes you major party. You then achieve major party status. Well, coming along with major party status generally means you get to participate in the debates, which is essential. Like at the national level, they hold the bar there at about 15 or 20% to keep any third party from debating. And even when Ross Perot got damned 19.7%, if you remember, they didn't even let him in the debates in 96 after he got one out of five votes, because they raised the bar even higher again. Well, in Minnesota, fortunately, when you get 5%, if you achieve that, then you're allowed in the debates. Pretty much. There have been exceptions where they have excluded people.
But that's
and that
good.
One of them was the reason I named Dean Barkley a senator, because when Senator Wellstone was killed in the plane crash, I was going to name the winner of the election so that they would have seniority. But then they when Walter Mondale, the Democrat, came in to replace Wellstone, he would not debate unless our candidate was excluded, and they did it. So then I got angry. I thought, how dare them? How can they exclude the party that the seated governor belongs to? So that was at the point that I named Dean Barkley the U.S. Senator, which he was the most productive senator in 4 weeks in Minnesota history, for the 4 weeks that he was in Washington until, you know, the end of the year. But he is now running, and Alex, he's right in the position I was in. He's polling a little over 20% with a week to go. That's right where I was at. And he needs some funding. This is a guy, we don't take PAC money. We don't take special interest money. We don't have a national party, so we're at an extreme disadvantage. And I'm appealing to all your listeners out there. It's SenatorBarkley.com over the internet. This is a guy like Dr. Paul. He's the independent. He believes in the Constitution. And we've got to break this two-party, and he needs to raise about 35,000 to 50,000 by Wednesday.
Because he's got the TV ads, and to explain, it's a three-way race. He's only like 5 points behind others.
He's about 10 behind, but that don't mean nothing in the last week, because there's 30% of Minnesotans that still say they're undecided.
Yeah, I was talking to him this morning about that, so we have a chance to get him in.
Yes, we do. If people will step forward, this is a critical event if they can help Dean out.
Because he's already got, what, he was telling me, like 100 and something thousand for the TV ads. He needs another 30 to 40. He'll be able to run the full package. And yep. I think he said he spent something like $100,000, and they've spent millions, and he's close to being able to beat them. We're going to come back and talk to Jesse Ventura and Mr. Barkley. Former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura, hot on the heels of being down here in Austin, told me, look, this guy is great. This guy, you know, is part of the Ron Paul Liberty deal. He was there. He's a constitutionalist. He's the guy that got me into government. He's the guy that blazed the trail. We need to get him in. And the key here is Jesse Ventura was 10 points behind a week before the election. He was 8 points behind going into the weekend of the election. And he won because you got 30+% or around 30% that are undecided. This is key. And both parties are very unpopular right now. I want to bring Dean Barkley up to explain how much more money they've spent compared to what he spent, and some of the things we can do to help him. But Governor Ventura, before we bring Senator Barkley in, finish up with the key point. I mean, you were there, you lived it, about the similarities to your race and his race right now.
Well, the similarities are great. I mean, our slogan back in 98 was Retaliate in 98. And I would tell you, with the way public sentiment is today, it would be double retaliate in 08. Because the people today, to me, are twice as angry as they were back in 98 when they elected me. And they need to act upon that anger, and that anger needs to be shown to the two parties. You know, this would be a bombshell across the nation if Dean Barkley upsets Senator Norm Coleman and comedian Al Franken. It'll be a shockwave the same as mine was. You all remember when I won back in 98, how they were so stunned. I think Dan Rather said it would be more popular to see Fidel Castro riding across the Rocky Mountains or something than Jesse Ventura winning the governor of Minnesota. Well, we can do that same type of explosion right now, and it'll happen next week. And believe me, it would be like a hard, hard left jab right to the nose of both of these parties. And it would cause their eyes to glass, and they wouldn't know what hit them if we can do this, if we can elect Dean Barkley and send him as the new U.S. Senator from Minnesota, an independent.
Yeah, one senator can do a lot. I mean, look what one congressman like Ron Paul can do. And Ventura.
Well, especially, Alex, especially in the case of the Senate, because they're very, very close. Now, it appears the Dems may get a wider margin, but, you know, Dean Barkley going out there would be a very strong power broker, because he would be a bargaining chip for both of these sides would have to. He would be a very powerful position to be in.
And he's already been there.
This is the Senate seat that I was going to go for.
Yes, and no doubt you would have won if you'd have gone for it. But
well, I don't know.
Oh, come on, Ventura. Hey, but I understand you got a lot of stuff on the burner, and we talked about it, we can't talk about it now, that is going to be even probably more effective. We're glad Dean's doing it. Bringing up Dean Barkley, who was appointed senator for a month in Wellstone's desk, so he's been there before. Sir, how do we help you, and how do we raise this money to get these ads on?
Well, we're at a tipping point right now. You know, both my opponents have spent over $30 million each. $30 million. And I've spent about $50,000 so far, and I'm within range to beat these guys. We've got to do our TV campaign. It's going to start running on Thursday, and we need to raise enough money to have the impact, just like Jesse did the last weekend of the campaign. We ran his ads, and that convinced people that I could win, and we're very, very close right now. If they want to send money, go to my website, which is www.senatorbarkley.com, or if they want to call my office and do a donation that way, the phone number is 763-417-9972. You know, with another $50,000 or $60,000, I can win this race. It's winnable. And Jesse's right. This would be a shockwave that Congress would pay attention to. Say, my God, Barkley's coming here. If we don't change our ways, maybe we're going to be next.
Well, the
they
bully pulpit.
Attention to this.
Well, the bully pulpit you would have as well. And again, here's Ventura still fighting. I mean, he didn't run, but he's supporting you, and you supported him successfully for governor. So you're about 10 points behind both these clowns with 30. Now, I've seen some polls. Is it 30 or is it 34%?
Undecided. Last poll, the one was at 37, the other one was at 34, and I'm sitting around 20 to 21, 22, somewhere in that range with a huge undecided, just a huge. And both my opponents' negatives are well over 50%. Nobody likes them. And I just have to get to the other people that are making up their mind right now of who I am, get my message out there, because everywhere I go, people hear me talk, I convert them. But I've only got about a week to go, and this TV campaign is going to be essential for me to actually tip this one and actually win it, just like Jesse did. And Texas has a great chance. I mean, I spent a year and a half down there with Kinky Friedman. I think Austin is my adopted home. I love Austin. But here's your chance. I'll say Texas will be my adopted state. This is good for the entire country. I mean, we need to change this country.
Well, Dean,
we're
on heading all over. We're on in, you know, Illinois, California, Kansas, Missouri, Florida, New York.
This would be a strike for the entire country. We know how rotten politics has gotten. We know how, you know, Congress can't get anything done anymore as our country's going to hell.
Senator Dean Barkley, Governor Jesse Ventura, stay there. We're going to come back and go to both of you and talk about this. $50,000. He's only 10 points behind the other two stooges with 37% undecided. Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., 4 hours Central Standard Time. That's noon to 4 p.m. Eastern. We are here live, simulcasting on a growing, wonderful list of AM and FM affiliates. Going out on three different satellite systems, global, shortwave, and the number one radio talk show on the internet, on free internet shows. If you go to the Shoutcast ranking, there's some music above us, but we're the number one radio talk show. And we are very honored to have Senator Dean Barkley there for a month, appointed by the governor after Senator Wellstone's tragic death. And, of course, the dark horse candidate that won and really changed history in the electoral process, Governor Jesse Ventura, former Governor Jesse Ventura from Minnesota.
Jesse, we're talking during the break. There's another key point. Not only is 37 to 34% undecided, depending on the poll, and not only were you 10 points behind, just like Dean is, going in a week and a half before the election, but something else happened that parallels this. I mean, this is key because folks need to understand Dean Barkley has a big chance of winning if people take action. Tell him, Governor.
Well, you know, again, across this whole country right now, to me, if you're angry and you're angry at the situation that our nation is in today, you have only two entities to blame for that. That is the Democrats and the Republicans, because they're the ones that have put our country in the position it's in today. They're the ones that are trying to get us out with bailouts and all of this other stuff that they're doing for problems that they created and caused. And we've got to step forward. This is an opportunity to shoot a shot that'll be heard round the world, to steal the cliche, because trust me, if Dean Barkley gets elected up here, it will grab headlines just as much as whichever one of these two wins the presidency. I know, I've been there. I remember 98 like it was like yesterday, you know, when I won that election, and the same thing will happen in this one. If an independent beats these two parties, it'll scare the bejesus out of them.
Governor
That's
Ventura,
the best way I can put it.
Break down the numbers, though, that you were telling me during the break about how more people voted than they had also guesstimated they would.
Well, what happened in Minnesota going into, and Dean's ahead of this, we're talking going into the final weekend. Going into the final weekend, I was at 26 or 27% right in there, and they anticipated a 50% voter turnout. Well, they didn't anticipate it ended up 60%, and those were the 10% that took me from 27 to 37, and that's how I won. Well, right now, they're predicting it could be as high as an 80% voter turnout. And everyone remember this, that traditionally Minnesota leads the nation in voter turnout. It's always a battle between us and Maine. And ironically, when I was governor, there was another independent governor. His name was Governor Angus King of Maine. And Angus was actually on his second term when I started my first. I just got a lot more publicity than he did for whatever, I suppose, my background and all of that. But notice that the states with the largest voter turnouts are the ones where you get a third candidate elected, because these two parties do not want you voting. They tell you that they do, but the reality is they don't, because smaller numbers are easier to control.
Absolutely. Dean, I mean, obviously, you're doing a lot of radio interviews every day. You're doing some TV. These TV ads are key. People need to go to SenatorBarkley.com, www.senatorbarkley.com, or just Google Dean Barkley, and you'll find his site that way. Or you can call Senator Dean Barkley headquarters at 1-763-417-9972, 1-763-417-9972. You know, we supported Ron Paul. He broke all those records, woke up tens of millions of people to the New World Order. But, you know, at the end of the day, he failed there in the big presidential run. But this is a state run for senator. This is a battleground that Governor Ventura and Dean Barkley that trailblazed for the governor. This is a chance for the American people to send a message that we are sick and tired of both parties. So here's that number, 763-417-9972. And that, again, ladies and gentlemen, is Senator Dean Barkley, senatorbarkley.com.
And Alex, if I can throw in there, remember, in Dean and I's candidacies, most of our contributions are $50 and $100, $20, $25. We welcome that because we don't spend like these other two parties do. We don't win elections by money. We win them with ideas, but certainly you have to have some money in which to get your ideas out there. And that's how we win. So I want to tell people any amount will be greatly appreciated from a third-party candidate. If you can only send $20, believe me, will give you a pat on the back, shake your hand, and a thank you, and a look right in the eye.
Well, the mainstream media is even admitting the public is close to physical revolution. Police are saying they're getting ready for riots after the elections. There's open talk of martial law in Congress. Third parties are only going to get stronger and stronger. Independent parties are only going to get stronger and stronger. But if we have this loser attitude and decide that we can't take action, they're going to win. And Governor Ventura, while you were here, and then we're going to go to Senator Barkley, you eloquently spoke to the fact that what's killing us is that Americans have been voting like it's a horse race for the horse they think is going to win, or you know, kind of like these fans who get on the bandwagon for a football team once it's assured they're going to win, instead of ideas, and then that allows the corporate-controlled media to dominate and only show the two parties. Can you say that in your own words?
Well, for me, it's vote your heart and conscience. It's as simple as that. Don't go into that election booth thinking, well, everyone's voting for so-and-so, so I want to be on the winning side. That's the wrong attitude to take. Go into that booth and pick out the person that you most want to do that job, and if you vote your heart and your conscience, you can walk out of that booth with your head held high, knowing that you're a patriotic American and that you're doing what our forefathers had in mind to begin with. You know, let's remember something. They didn't have in mind career politics way back in the day when they formed our country. They didn't believe people would go out and make a career of getting elected. They believed that you'd come from the private sector, you'd go serve, and then imagine when you're done, go back to what you used to do or go on to a new career in the private sector, is what I usually do. But again, this is an opportunity, Alex, for America, for all the angry people out there to strike out and send a message, send an independent senator to Washington. That'll shake them up more than anything they can imagine.
www.senatorbarkley.com. Barkley is B-A-R-K-L-E-Y. We're going to get links up later today up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, and I want to get one of our writers to do a story about this and this important campaign. How much attention have you been getting, Senator Barkley?
I've been getting attention. It's unbelievable. I mean, it's been nonstop. I've been going all over the state of Minnesota. I just got a major endorsement from one of the major papers up at St. Cloud. I couldn't have written a better one. Like I say, everyone who hears me speak and talk about my vision of where this country needs to go and the problems we're facing and how bad things have gotten, and we just need to quit these bad habits. I mean, you know, Ben Franklin said it very well when he said, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. This country's got to change its direction, and this could be the first step. I mean, you can have a revolution in this country by voting the right way. I mean, you know, if you like what you got, well, fine, pick the Democrat or Republican. But if you want someone who's going to change the direction this country is heading, like Ron Paul wanted to do, here's your chance. This would be the first step. This wouldn't just be for Minnesota. This is for the entire country to say, hey, we've had it. You know, quit doing what you're doing and start solving these problems and quit fighting, or you're going to lose your job. And I guarantee the only thing that Democrats and Republicans pay attention to is power. And until we start sending people to Washington that consider themselves to be Americans first and members of a political party second, nothing's going to ever change. So this could be the first step.
Absolutely.
Dean, I couldn't say it more eloquently myself. You're ready for the job. I give you my stamp of approval.
Well, no, I'm ready for it, too. I mean, we've got a lot of work to do in this country. We can do anything we want if we just set our mind to it. These problems can all be solved. It isn't the end of the world, but we've got to change the system that's destroying us. And, you know, how much more are we going to take before we're going to wake up and start voting the right way?
Well, I mean, it's good news that folks are upset and we're getting record voter turnout. And it's a process of them fully waking up. So at first they just disengage from the system. Now they're coming back to it in droves, and they're going to find out, like Ventura said, the governor, that it's a fraud. Then they're going to come to the third parties, to the independents. That's already happening. And so this wave is only building now, and people have no excuse. They can't just sit there and suck their thumbs. No matter where you live in the United States, if you're a U.S. citizen, you can donate. I am going to go online today, and I'm going to donate money to the Barkley campaign. And I think everybody out there should do it because, you know, this is a good shot we've got here to have somebody with a bully pulpit, somebody who can be a swing vote. You know, an independent even in the House, is a big deal. And a lot of attention gets paid to him. In the Senate, this will be just a huge deal. And it's so important that people get involved right now, because we've got, 8-9 days? This money will come in, this ad package being produced, done by tomorrow, ready to hit TV, you know, that punch right to the nose, like Jesse Ventura said. We need to get you elected, Senator Barkley. So again, 763-417-9972 is the number for the campaign office, 763-417.
Well, I've got some good news, too. Our website is being swamped right now. And so if people can't get through, or if we crash, we'll be back up. So don't give up if you can't get through, because right now my webmaster is telling me we're just being inundated now with support, and I thank you for doing it.
Well, Alex, you're a man of your word, because you told me that yesterday what would happen.
Well, I know how great my listeners are.
No kidding. You're tapped right into your listeners, and I'm so happy. I mean, this is outstanding.
Well, you've got some true Americans out there, and we can take this country back, but we have to start.
Well, folks, if the site does completely crash, we have millions of listeners. The key here is the phone number, 763-417-9972. And Senator, I do hope you have quite a few people there to answer the phones, because they'll get calls.
Do.
I mean, different stations air this throughout the day and throughout the night, and then some in the morning, so you're going to get calls for the next 24 hours.
Right, and we can take credit card information right over the phone and do the donation that way, so we can get it in time for the TV spots.
Hey, listen, the reason I'm behind you is I've seen your stances, your policies, very close to Ron Paul, very close to what Ventura stood for as well, and I know you were a trailblazer. I know you've already been to the Senate as an appointment for a month, and so it's just right to send you there instead of the other guys. I mean, the other guys are total jokers. You know, one of them's a total establishment insider. Franken's basically a socialist who didn't even really live in Minnesota, been in New York, you know, doesn't even have a Minnesota driver's license till he got back. And, you know, you're there. You're there fighting. You helped get Ventura elected. You know, you've paid your dues. You know, you've made your bones in this fight. And regardless of whether you win, lose, or draw, we're taking action. We're not sitting on our butt. Look, when I asked Ventura, you know, when Willie invited, he said, hey, I have Ventura down. You know, I mean, Ventura came. You know, he's a go-getter taking action while he's shooting, you know, all these pilots for TV and all this other stuff. He came down here just because we asked him to come down here. And so that's why also, I mean, a lot of life is just taking action, folks, and not sitting there on your butt questioning. A lot of people want to do it perfect, or they want a silver bullet, or they want to have some, you know, magic master plan given to them to fix things. A lot of it is just getting up off our butts and taking action with the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, and just throwing ourselves against the machine. Governor Ventura?
Yes, Alex.
I mean, can you speak to just taking action?
Well, you know, it's a case of if not you, then who? If you sit back and wait for everybody else to do it, nothing's going to happen. But if you step forward, and it requires all of us in our own way, in our own small way, this is the greatest country in the world, without a doubt. But it may not be. The direction that we're heading now, we are not going in the direction of being the greatest country in the world. But we don't need to let that happen. And it's all our choice. We can bitch, we can complain, we can do all of those things. But truthfully, you've got to be people of action. You've got to step forward, do what you can do. I mean, if it's only $10, hey, if that's all you can afford to a campaign, that's enough.
Or if you've got family in Minnesota, you're from Minnesota, call all your friends and family. Get up off your butt, call 15, 20, 30 people, and tell them, vote for Senator Dean Barkley. Vote for Dean Barkley and tell him senatorbarkley.com, www.senatorbarkley.com. I mean, that is powerful. People in Minnesota, I know Ted's given to the campaign, the owner of Genesis based up there in Burnsville. That's what it's all about here. In the final equation, there is a sleeping giant that's rising, and the people are beginning to resist. Senator Barkley, Ron Paul on this radio show has called for criminal indictments by grand juries at the state level of Paulson, of Fed Secretary, of the Chairman of the Federal Reserve, Ben Bernanke. What would you do about this bailout and all the corruption we see if you were able to get into the Senate?
Well, I think we're going to put an end to it. You know, I found out a simple fact a couple of days ago. Do you know that these same Wall Street banks that just got bailed out are projecting to spend over $70 billion in bonuses by the end of the year. I mean, what gives here? I mean, this is insanity. We should have an investigation. And if I'm in the Senate, I'll try to get in the committee and investigate what happened here, what really happened. Who was asleep at the switch? I think there should be some heads to roll here. And my God, if you're running for re-election after you were in charge while this happened, why in the world did you ever re-elect someone? If they'd been on the board of directors, they'd be indicted right now, not seeking re-election. I mean, it's just incredible the amount of mismanagement that we've seen the last 10 years in Congress. And it's time for people to, like I said, here's their chance. Send me there. I will make a ruckus, I promise you. I mean, I haven't taken one dime from Wall Street. You know, Norm Coleman, one of my opponents, has taken $3 million from the banking sector alone. And he's going to go back and fix this? Give me a break.
What would you do about the...
You know what else is interesting about him, too, Dean, our illustrious current senator? He's supposed to be a Republican, right, that stands for private business and all of that. This guy has been cashing government checks for 32 years.
He's never worked in the private sector.
He has not worked in the private sector in 32 years. It's time to move him in. It's time to him for him to live those ads he has on TV where he tells all of us that he feels our pain. Well, how can he possibly feel our pain when he's cashing a government check for 32 straight years?
Yeah, it's time to put him out to pasture.
That's right.
Unbelievable.
Let him find out what a real job is like, where you might have to actually go out and earn a living,
Dean,
which all of us have to do.
When we get back, we're going to ask Senator Dean Barkley. He was there for a month, appointed by Ventura. In a close race, he can win. SenatorBarkley.com. We're going to ask him what he would do on the Iraq war, what his plan for that is. The senator can do a lot, have a lot of press conferences, raise a lot of ruckus. Very, very powerful. We need to get him in there. That's why we're spending time on this today. SenatorBarkley.com. Stay with us. Hey, we need to send him from Minnesota to the Senate.
In 1814, we took a little
kick some butt.
Along with Colonel Jackson down to mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans. And we caught the bloody British in a town in New Orleans. We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it. On down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
We are back live, ladies and gentlemen.
We look down a river and we see the British come.
We are talking to former Governor Jesse Ventura also. He's in two of my favorite movies, Predator and The Running Man. I remember being a little kid, man, and liking Ventura more than, you know, Schwarzenegger on those shows. Just the character, man. He's great on screen. But then all the other things he's done, Navy SEAL. He was even a rock star, even got on the charts with one or, you know, in a big CD. I mean, he's done so much, and of course, Governor of Minnesota, and we've got... Senator Dean Barkley, well, I'm going to keep a few minutes into the next hour so he can actually, you know, go through his platform. He's anti-New World Order. He's anti-war. And we're going to talk about that. But just give us the brief take on it before we say bye to Ventura, Senator Barkley.
Well, in the Iraq War, I mean, it's the biggest mistake since Vietnam. We were lied to in Vietnam. We were lied to in this war. We've now spent 5.5 years, over $600 billion that we don't have. And over 4,300 American lives have been lost. It's time to get out of that war. I won't vote for a single spending bill authorizing that war without a firm timetable. I think we can get out within 6 months, and we have to get out of there and let Iraq determine its own future now.
What about the New World Order?
Oh, my God. I mean, you know, we spend more on our military budget right now than all the other military budgets combined in the world. You know, I'm still waiting for the peace dividend 20 years ago when we ended the Cold War. It's insane what we're doing. $11 trillion in debt, and we want to be the world's policeman in this new world order about world government and giving up our sovereignty. You know, we've got to put a stop to this insanity.
We're going to talk more about that with you, Senator, when I keep you for 5 more minutes or longer, if you like, on the other side. But in closing, we got about 3 minutes left here in this hour. Governor Ventura, again, it was great having you down here in Austin. You're even more amazing when you get to spend a few days with you, not just a little while. Your closing comments on Senator Barkley and what we're doing here.
Well, again, Alex, thank you very much for giving us the time today. You're a patriot also in what you do and a great American. And you're out there every day on the battle line talking what you're talking, and you got to keep it up, because always remember, our First Amendment rights are always in jeopardy. They're always trying to shut people up, and they don't want people talking about things that make them uncomfortable, Alex. And you're a person that gets out there. You got courage. You talk about the stuff that makes them uncomfortable. So you keep up the good work, too. And I have all the faith in the world in your listeners. I think we're going to step forward. We're going to get Senator Barkley elected, and they're going to hear a shot heard around the world again, just like in 98. In fact, it could be, you know, I'm heading off to work on my surfing down in Mexico. That's the thing I'm trying to conquer next, is the waves. And I'll tell you what, knowing that Dean Barkley's going to be in Washington, I'll surf a lot better, and I'll enjoy those waves that much more when I come back in the spring.
Oh, my God. And while you're at it, you're helping GM redesign the Hummer.
Well, I don't know about that. I can sure go down there and blow them up now and then.
Now, you were telling the story about telling them how to make a better battery. That was a funny story in the car. All right, well,
anyway, Alex, I'm going to run. Take care. Senator Barkley, good luck. We'll keep pounding out there next Tuesday. We're going to send an independent to Washington and scare the hell out of them.
Hey.
Thank you, Jesse.
You bet. Jesse, one last question. We're talking during the break. I'm exhausted today with 3 hours sleep. You were telling me that sometimes you don't even sleep.
No, well, you know, remember, when you go through Navy SEAL training, they keep you awake for a week, so you get used to it.
Yeah, I mean, you have so much energy this morning at 5:45 when I picked up. You were like a jumping jack, and me, I was like driving on the road, falling asleep. Governor, it was a great adventure having you down here, and we love you. Take care.
Thanks, Alex. Same to you, and we'll see you in Dallas, hopefully. Bye-bye.
That's right. We'll talk about that later. A little secret. All right, we'll be right back with the senator. Stay with us.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
The more I learn about this Dean Barkley, the more I like him. Anti-New World Order, anti-global government. Get us out of the war day one. Try to arrest the bankers, end the bailout, banker takeover. And I got home last night at like 1 and went and Googled him. And I'd heard about him. And Ted had told me I ought to have him on last week. He recommended it. I just never got around to it. He told me how great he was and part of the, you know, at the Ron Paul Liberty meeting and everything. And I went and pulled up that he was, the 34% are undecided. He was talking about 37% undecided, the good chance he's got of winning and people take action. I just wish I'd have known about this months ago. But Ventura's been so busy shooting 3 different pilots that I haven't talked to him much to. And there's so much going on to even focus on Minnesota politics, but that's national because it's a senator. So we're going to keep him with us for another 20 minutes. We're going to take your phone calls. And, you know, I don't screen calls here. But specifically, when we have a special guest on a certain issue, you can only call in on that issue. And we do that about once a week or so, maybe every 2 weeks. Not very often. The point is, only for Senator Barkley. And you can ask him about any of his policies or bring up any issues with that. 1-800-259-9231. 800-259-9231. He was a senator appointed by Governor Ventura when Wellstone died for a month, so that's why he has the title senator. We want to send him there officially. Okay, we got about 3 minutes till we break in this quick segment. We're going to come back and take calls. Tell us about your platform, Senator Dean Barkley.
Well, my platform is pretty simple. I'm a fiscal conservative. I think that our country is going down the tubes, the $11 trillion debt. How much more are we going to put in our... It's not our kids anymore. Now it's our grandchildren. We're going to saddle with this atrocious debt. We've got our economy now based upon the goodwill of China to buy our bonds. What would Thomas Jefferson think, that our whole economy now is based on China buying bonds? I mean, the position that they put ourselves in is just incredible. I mean, I can't believe it. But I'm a social moderate. I believe the government should stay out of our personal life, too. You know, you have the right to be stupid. And as long as you aren't hurting anyone else, you know, leave us alone. So I guess I'm the true conservative on both the social issues and the spending issues.
What would you call that, kind of little L libertarian? Or?
Yeah, I'd say little L libertarian. I score very well on the libertarian tests. We have a libertarian party here. I think that we have to do a little bit more than just build roads and defect our borders, but not much. I think we need a limited government. We need a smaller government. Our government is too large. And, we're going to have to start having the debate of you know, we're $11 trillion in debt, folks. I mean, we have to start having the debate of what we can stop doing, not new things we're going to do for people.
You know, how are you on the Second Amendment? How are you on the...
I call the Second Amendment as the ultimate guardian of all the others. Does that say it all?
And so you're for Vermont-style carry nationwide?
I think thank God the Supreme Court said it's just not to protect our hunting rights. Everyone in this country has the right to carry arms, and yes, we have to make sure that convicted felons and mentally ill people do not get their hands on it. But beyond that, no, that's our right to have, and we can collect guns. We can have as many guns, not the type, but the government shouldn't say what kind of guns you can have. We have the right to carry arms. We do. And that was a right given to us, and we have to protect that as strong as the First Amendment.
So you'd repeal a lot of the federal gun laws. As a senator, you'd try that.
Yes.
That's exciting. Continue. Where do you stand specifically on the war? What would your plan be to get us out of there?
Well, one thing is that, you know, the Congress has the ability to end that war by stop the funding. I mean, they're the ones that have to put the funding bills in. Like I said, I would not vote for one new spending authorization for Iraq without a firm timetable for withdrawal. Now, everyone wants us out of Iraq. Even the Iraqi government wants us out. The only one dragging their feet is Bush. And it's time to sit down and say, okay, how much time does it really take to safely get our troops out of there? I think we could do it within 6 months to a year. The very most is to get our troops out of that country. We never should have been there. We've done enough. Now, I don't want to lose one more American soldier to that battle anymore. We've done our part. We've put that country back together. Now it's time for them to determine what they want for themselves. We believe in self-determination.
But the bankers are making hundreds of billions a year in no-bid weapons contracts and $15 million blue $5 tarps. We'll be right back with Senator Dean Barkley.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Jason Burmes is going to be riding shotgun the last hour and 40 minutes. Sela Castillo, speaking of guns, former DEA agent who witnessed government narcotics trafficking, set him up on a gun charge. He was a school teacher. Claimed he was selling guns illegally for selling a friend a gun. And in buying some guns from an informant who kept pushing them on him. It's like Ruby Ridge, what they did there. Just amazing. That's coming up. I want to take your phone calls for Senator Dean Barkley. He was there appointed for a month when Senator Wellstone died. He's trying to go back there, and it's senatorbarkley.com. Drugs. The CIA 6 months ago, a plane crashed in Mexico with 3.3 tons, CIA aircraft. In fact, it was the well-known plane used to carry people for torture to black op camps in Europe. What would you do with the phony war on drugs? The bigger it gets, the more drugs we have on the streets.
Well, I said the war on drugs has been a miserable failure. It has never worked. Every time you make something illegal, you just create a whole different class of criminals. We haven't learned anything from Prohibition. We have to stop putting addicted people into jails and give them the treatment that they need. We need to legalize, we need to regulate, and then we can tax it. Maybe that can help us balance our budget.
Well, you know, heroin, cocaine, and everything was sold at every major pharmacy in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And there were people that were addicted to it, but I've seen all the different numbers from the time, much lower, about a third what it is today. And, you know, if you dig around in the countryside or the city anywhere, you find all the old laudanum bottles and things, which was opium. And some people did get on it. But you didn't have these feds sneaking around looking in your windows. You didn't have them shipping it in to make the profits. You didn't have the police being corrupted by it, and only a third as many people would go. I mean, what was snake oil? It'll cure all your ails. You're depressed. Drink this cocaine.
I think Coca-Cola had cocaine in it at one point.
It did until the mid-30s. Yeah, it had a lot of cocaine in it. In fact, the secret ingredient in Coke, and this is admitted, is denatured. It's like decaffeinated coffee. It's decoconated cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they, quote, have their secret ingredient plant is in Colombia.
Well, we got to stop making people that make bad choices and get themselves addicted criminals. It doesn't make any sense. Our prisons are full of them, and it's because they're addicted. Let's treat the addiction, and let's quit making criminals out of everybody. People are going to get addicted. They are going to make bad choices, but we shouldn't have to have them resort to a life of crime in order to do it. It makes absolutely no sense. This war on drugs has never worked. Anyone living on the Texas border knows how bad it is down there. It's a war zone. And that's because we've made it illegal, and we've made a lot of bad people very wealthy by making criminals out of this. And we've got to come to a grips and say, hey, this isn't working, folks. Let's try something else.
Well, the war on drugs started back in the 30s, and it officially kicked off in the 80s. And when you make something, you know, cost hundreds of times what it should, it creates larger criminal elements. The government is laundering the money. The banks are laundering money. It's actually working very well for their aims, and that's why you got crackheads carjacking people and robbing folks where they should be at treatment facilities. And the establishment knows that, and they're totally intellectually bankrupt. They've been caught hundreds of times shipping in the drugs, and you know, we've got to turn this around, and we've got to stop it.
I've been advocating that position for 16 years, ever since I got into politics in 1992.
Ventura says you were instrumental in getting him to run. Tell us a little bit about your history with the Governor Ventura.
Well, Jesse was the honorary chair of my 1996 run for U.S. Senate Minnesota. I was trying to get the Independence Party major party status, which means I had to run for the Senate and get 5% of the vote, which I did. But he walked my hometown Annandale 4th of July parade in 1996. I noticed that everybody was cheering for him and ignoring me. And I turned to him and said, you know, the wrong guy's running. You're going to run next. Well, he laughed at me. But I worked on him for a year. I recruited him to run for governor. I ran his campaign, and we shocked the world in 1998. So we showed that it could be done. And I'm right on track where we were 10 years ago. This campaign is almost exactly where Jesse's was, except that people are much more upset right now, and they have every right to be. They've just seen their 401ks disappear because of government. And I think the timing is right. This is going to happen again. And then
now, let's be clear.
I can blaze the path, and then they can run 2 years from now. We can keep on doing this.
Let's be clear. You're only 10 points behind, same place Ventura was.
Exactly,
but even more,
the same place.
But even more undecided than you had back in the 90s. And
more decided, and there's going to be about 20% more voters show up than they did for Ventura's in 98. He had a 60%. They're predicting an 80% in Minnesota. So this thing is just completely up in the air, and if I can get this TV campaign funded, I'm going to win this thing. You know, I'll be shameless. I'll give you the plug for the website again. It's SenatorBarkley.com. Or if they want to call the office, our phones are busy right now, so keep trying it. 763-417-9972. And just do your part. Like Jesse said, whether it's just $5, it'll all add up. You know, there's a small price to
pay.
That's
the point I wanted to make.
Insanity. Yes,
your competitors, the two establishment whores, that's what they are, they have raised $30 million. You have spent $50,000, and you're within 10 points of beating them. Ladies and gentlemen, I mean, this is the example of ideas over fluff and garbage. And if you want that gun grabber or you want that neocon in power, then you know, don't get involved here. Let's go ahead and take some calls. Eric in Kansas, then Eric in Wisconsin, then others. Go ahead. You're on the air, Eric.
Hey, Alex. This is Eric from the InfoWars Money Bomb, Senator Barkley.
Yes.
I just wanted to chime in and tell all my fellow listeners, I'm from Minnesota. Out there in Minnesota, we've got a whole lot of Swedes and a whole lot of Norwegians.
Yeah,
call them Norsemen.
Yep.
So if you like the idea of sending an angry Viking up to the Senate, we got to back this guy.
Thanks, guys. I can say okie dokie, as they say in Minnesota. Yeah, sure, you bet.
Is this Eric Nordstrom that did the Ron Paul money bomb and then did mine? Oh,
I'm
I wanted
sure.
to talk to him more, yeah. Well, we should have done a money bomb for you. You know, I mean, it was his idea, and then people saying, you're having a money bomb, you're having a money bomb, and then suddenly all this money came in, and we're using that for the new TV studio. We'll soon give folks a tour of, but wow, we should have done a money bomb. I just really didn't know that much about you, Mr. Barkley. I wish I would have gotten involved earlier.
Well, it's better late than never. We still have time. We still have 8 days to go before the election, and like I say, the next 3 days is when I need to raise the money, and if I can do it, like I said, Jesse, this will be a huge message. I don't think
well, let's be clear. Regardless, the TV ads are going to run. Just your political experts are telling you need this extra amount to really be effective.
Yeah, I think I do. I think I, unfortunately, many Minnesotans get their messages from television. Television is expensive. I mean, I'm still going to be outspend 400-1, but if I can get enough TV ads on the air, we've got the buys already scheduled to go out. We believe we'll get enough coverage that we will then close the deal in this race. But I'm right now about $30,000-$40,000 short, which is just a pittance compared to what they're doing. But if I can raise $30,000-$40,000 in the next few days, I think this race can be won.
Well, I think it's going to happen here. We have the best audience in the world. Eric in Wisconsin. Eric, you're on the air.
How's it going, Alex?
Good.
I called in before when Jesse Ventura was on the show, and you guys really got me motivated. I did some research, and we have a candidate here, and I'm in Wisconsin, so I'm just over the river from you.
Oh, those cheeseheads, that's okay. We love cheeseheads, too.
Well, you know what? well, setting the football thing aside, Kevin Barrett's running for Congress over here, and I met him recently, and I'm helping him with his campaign. And we did a video shoot, it's on YouTube, where Kevin Barrett actually gave Ron Kind his pink slip wearing a V for Vendetta mask.
Well, good. Fire out the website, then.
His website is Kevin Barrett, or no, BarrettForCongress.us.
Okay, I'm going to jump. I appreciate your call. Let's talk to Matt in New York. You're on the air, Matt.
Alex, you there?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Alex. Hey, Senator Barkley. It's Matt from MobilizeThePeople.com. Alex,
hi,
I want to thank you for waking me up a few years back. You've definitely set the example on the bar pretty high. It's actually refreshing to hear from representatives like Senator Barkley on your show. Alex, Thomas Jefferson once prophetically said that every government degenerates when trusted to the rulers of the people alone. The people themselves, therefore, are its only safe depositories. How do you guys, Senator Barkley especially, how do you feel about that?
Jefferson was a wise man. Jefferson always said, he also said that, you know, having a revolution every generation or two would be good for our democracy.
Yeah,
and I think the time is right for that.
He said
revolution.
The tree of liberty must be nourished from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I recently spoke with Chuck Schumer over here in New York, and I was asking him about the Federal Reserve. And to be quite honest, you know, these incumbent politicians, they have absolutely no answers, no responses. Either they're clueless or they just don't want to acknowledge.
No, they act clueless. They're bought and paid for the New World Order. Got to jump, Matt. Wayne in Mississippi. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
How you doing, sir?
Good.
Thanks for what you're doing, man. Well, I'm a rack vet, and I got a couple questions to ask him.
Okay.
Sure. Go ahead.
All right, man. What are you going to plan to do about the VA system? And I want you, what are you going to do about clarifying the casualty report over there? Because what they flash on CNN ain't true.
That's right. If you die out of country, they don't count it as a death. So it's really close to 18,000, not 5,000. Correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Well, absolutely. What we're going to do with our veterans, I mean, we're going to spend, you know, we have 700 foreign military bases. We have troops in Germany and Japan that we don't need. If we cut those costs, we'll actually have more than enough money to adequately care for those who have given their lives and they've become wounded and coming back. We have an obligation to make sure our vets are taken care of.
What about an investigation on the casualty reports?
Well, that's the first time I've heard that. I'm sorry, but I certainly would take a look at that. If they're underestimating or underreporting casualties, you know, it's just another one of the lies that led us into this, and we have to undercover
that. Well, it's like not letting people photograph the coffins or the funerals.
Yeah,
they don't see if you die in Iraq, it counts. But if you die in Ramstein or you die back in the U.S. a month later, a week later, a day later, it doesn't count.
No, they're just trying to sanitize war, aren't they? You know, it's just incredible. I mean, no, if you got shot in Iraq, I'll be honest. It's the first time I heard that. And then you die in a hospital outside of Iraq. That doesn't count. Well, do we know what the real death toll is?
Yeah, it's around 18,000, according to sources and even major institutions. You know what? I know you've got a lot of other interviews coming up, but can we do 5 more minutes on the other side so we can finish up with these calls?
Sure.
Okay. Former Senator Dean Barkley, he was there appointed for a month. He's the guy that got Jesse Ventura into politics. He's a great guy. We need to get behind him. Close race in Minnesota. Jason Burmes in studio with us. He'll be with us for the rest of the broadcast today. Sully Costello coming up. Talking to Dean Barkley, senatorbarkley.com.
Ira Hayes.
Number to their campaign, 763-417-9972.
Call him drunk.
763-417-9972.
your chance to be part of history. Take action. Will it fix everything? Probably not, but we know if we sit on our butts, it'll only get worse. Think how bad it would be if you weren't taking action. So taking action is half the battle. I got unlimited calls to take. We've got to let our guests go here in about 5 minutes. Let's talk to AJ in Minnesota. AJ in Minnesota, you're on the air.
Yes. Hey, Alex Dean, it's a pleasure to be with you, fine gentlemen, today. Before I get to my question here, I just wanted to say, Alex, I tuned in on the web to the concert last night, and it was fantastic. I appreciate you getting that organized.
You bet. You bet. Well, really, what it was is Willie invited us to that concert, and then we did some live feeds, but the whole thing was going late. It was overfilled, a whole lot of stuff on them, but we are going to have videos of us there doing interviews and doing live feeds, and some of the feeds didn't go out, but we have recordings from there, so the stuff where the web was going out on us, we're going to get up. But go ahead and ask your question, sir.
Great. I'll check for it. Yeah, my question was to both of you. I don't know if you were aware of the End the Fed campaign that's being organized for November 22nd.
Yes, I know. Genesis is promoting that.
Oh, sure.
Running ads
I was just
for
wondering,
it.
Obviously, you're in support of it, Alex. Senator, if you were aware of that. And
yeah, there's demonstrations everywhere to end the private Federal Reserve. Are you aware of that New World Order operation, Senator?
No, I haven't. I'm not aware of that, but I have as many questions as anyone of what the Federal Reserve, why it was created in the first place, why we gave up our currency and our treasury to a private institution. And I certainly am very interested in that position that you're taking. I certainly will listen to your arguments of why we think the Federal Reserve has to go.
All right. Anything else, AJ?
What's that?
Anything else from Minnesota?
No, that should be it. I plan to be out there at our regional branch here in Minneapolis on the 22nd. So anybody that's listening, I encourage you to get out there and support us.
Protest the Fed nationwide at all its branch banks on the 22nd. Thank you. Ken in New Jersey, you're on the air. Go ahead.
How you doing, Alex?
Good.
Alex, I'd like to thank you from the bottom of my heart for opening up my eyes to what's going on in this country today. My question or comment really to the senator is, this is the first time ever I ever heard of a senator that's running for president to sit and talk on a regular talk show where people could actually ask him a question.
Yeah, running for Senate, yeah.
Pardon me?
Running for Senate, yes.
Running for Senate, rather. I mean, it's just nice to have that today. I mean, it really is. It's just nice for the average person to be able to reach out to a politician without having to wait in a long line.
Absolutely. Appreciate
it. One thing I wanted to tell you, Alex, I live in a small community here in New Jersey. And believe it or not, I walked into a store that I always go in. It's a pharmacy. And believe it or not, the employees have a thumb scanner on the register here now.
No, thumb scanners to buy and sell. Going in everywhere, this is the control grid to shut down any underground economy. This is total enslavement. Appreciate your call. I take it you're not for Big Brother either, Senator Barkley.
No, I read George Orwell, 1984, and I think that we're there.
Well, in closing, overall, what do you think of the election this year? Just the presidential one.
Well, I think we've got... I don't know who I'm going to vote for yet. I think that I was hoping that Ron Paul would have run as an independent. We'd have a real choice in this election right now.
He's endorsed, of course, Chuck Baldwin, the head of the Constitution Party, much better than Bob Barr.
So, okay. Well, we do have Barr. We do have other choices in this, and I urge people to educate themselves and take a look at who you really want. I mean, horse race between McCain and Obama, that's not the only race going on out there. So, go out and find out what these alternatives are. And if you don't like the Democrat or Republican, we'll send a message.
Let's cram one more in. Jose from New York, go ahead.
Hi, Alex. Hi. First-time caller and listener for at least a year now. And I, too, am glad that you opened my eyes, too. And also an EMT in New York City and New York State. Question for Senator...
Yes.
Barkley.
I just wanted to know, did you hear of the Codex Alimentarius?
Got to jump. That's where the internationalists want to take over the vitamins. Are you concerned about that?
I haven't heard of that issue, so I don't want to pretend I know something.
Are you for the FDA taking over and shutting down vitamins?
No.
There's your answer.
Not. No.
You're certainly aware of that going on.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, sir, it's been an amazing interview. Let me get you back up. Once the ads are running, maybe Friday or something, as we go into the last days of this key election, for a quick update. And again, the website, SenatorBarkley.com, 763-417-9972. Thank you so much, sir.
Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak to your listeners.
You bet. It was great having you here, and we will talk to you very soon. I'll say bye to you here off air. We'll be right back with Jason Berman, Sully Costello. Stay with us. More calls.
We're on.
No.
You're certainly aware of that going on.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, sir, it's been an amazing interview. Let me get you back up once the ads are running, maybe Friday or something, as we go into the last days of this key election, for a quick update. And again, sure. The website, SenatorBarkley.com, 763-417-9972. Thank you so much, sir.
Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak to your listeners.
You bet. It was great having you here, and we will talk to you very soon. I'll say bye to you here off air. We'll be right back with Jason Berman, Sully Costello. Stay with us. More calls. We are live at PrisonPlanet.tv for the rest of the broadcast. This man, here on your screen, Jason Bermas, is riding shotgun with us. Bermas, you lived down here for, what, 5 months?
About four and a half, yeah.
Yeah, it was really great having you down here, and it's like old times to have you back. And we're just now about to move the next week or so out of this office. We're building the radio studio and the TV studio, and it's trying to save money and order stuff, you know, off eBay and stuff for the parts, because we couldn't afford it if we bought even the low-grade stuff for real TV studios. Or on radio, we got some decent equipment, but that's getting built up. That's happening. Have we given you a tour of the new office yet?
Yeah, I was actually down there the last time, like the last day that I was here before I flew out. I went down there, and I was with Tim's sister, and I got the whole tour of the whole place. It's exciting, Alex.
Yeah, but now it's all filled up. Yeah, it's like 7,800 square feet. This is 2,200.
Yeah, I haven't
been
in here.
We're cramming here like sardines. And we had another little satellite office, because this wasn't big enough. We're getting rid of both these. We just got rid of the other one. We're getting rid of this one. And thanks to everybody's support out there. I want to go to phone calls and talk about all the insane news here today. I was going to have you just do the show today, but then Ventura's like, let's get Dean on. Let's try to help him. And so I came in. I'm not trying to be a wimp. I'm not like Ventura, man. 3 hours sleep after 2 days of tiring shooting. I'm fried right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, I am just really, really tired right now.
But how
now.
Good does it feel to get that response? I mean, he said his phone's off the hook, the website's all over the place. You might help this guy win a 1 in 100 election. You know, I mean, we only have 2 senators per state. This is a huge election. To get an independent on the Senate floor would be very big. So I hope this continues all day. I know you're rebroadcast all day on AM and FM, shortwave, of course, on the internet. I don't want people to let up. You know, let's get this guy elected. At least we'll have one win in this election season.
Well, it's the will to resist. I mean, it's all – and of course, there's election fraud. But I found with Minnesota, and I've studied the states, and we've had all the voting experts on, Florida's real bad, California's real bad, New York, New Hampshire, all those key states. But Minnesota has some electronic machines, some fraud, but the people are so involved there with – you heard him – 80-something percent highest voter turnout in the country on average. I mean, they're really active there. They've had a lot of problems putting in their fraudulent systems, and that's why we've been seeing some independents and people get in there. But, hey – the video, the problem is we have 3 cameras that shot about 3.5 hours of footage at Willie's house. We were there about 4, but we shot for 3.5 hours. We had some behind-the-scenes discussions we didn't want to tape. So imagine we have all those tapes. Then we have about 2 hours to tape per camera, 3 cameras, with Ventura driving around in the days he was here, day and a half he was here, or a little more than day and a half. Point is, he came in Saturday, left today. All this going on, that we're going to get this up for everybody. People are like, oh, yeah, interesting, Willie Nelson and Ventura and Alex Jones. No, there's some incredible stuff. Now, some of it was off record. We're not going to get into it. I guess the cameras were off, so that doesn't matter. But without getting into too much of what's going on and some of the things Ventura and I are up to with TV and things, just those discussions. And Willie's usually doesn't talk a lot, talking a lot, said a lot. These are some powerful videos that are going to be out on PrisonPlanet.tv.
Absolutely. And to have Willie Nelson sit there with an independent like Jesse Ventura and really a maverick like yourself and discuss the issues that still matter. 9/11 still matters. This presidential election still matters. You talked about the bailout with us and that criminal enterprise. We talked about farming and how they've made that into a criminal enterprise. So, you know, it was just so awesome, Alex. I mean, this is an icon. This is somebody who's not going to be around forever. I mean, Willie's 75 years old. You know, we will make these interviews live on forever. And that's what's great about what we do. You know, our work will live on far beyond, you know, Alex Jones, Jason Bermas, Jesse Ventura, Willie Nelson. And to have somebody with that much influence, I mean, you saw those people going crazy for him last night when he was on stage, 6,000 people roaring for Willie Nelson. Well, it's more like probably 60 million worldwide that listen to what he has to say. So I'm so stoked what we've been able to accomplish in the last 2 days. I'm so excited to put this out for other people to listen to other people to see. And when you see, again, how this man lives, you won't believe it. I mean, it's a real modest living.
And by the way, I was like, you're sure you want us to take cameras in your house, in your bedroom, in your back rooms, you know, in your... And he was like, come on.
Yeah, he's like, just come on in. No, everything's good. I don't care if you roll. And I was just like, wow. And he had that awesome balcony. I mean, I guess some people have seen some of the pictures that we put up so they can see that skyline. But it's really incredible, man. And
he's got all these hills and mountains all around him. He's up on top of it. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, like he said.
Point is, it's always great to be up on a big vista, but mm-hmm. with Willie Nelson and Jesse Ventura.
Yeah, and Nelson talking about how, you know, again, at that age, how he's on 200 venues a year live and then working even more than that.
And making two or three movies a year.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, and he's even built his own little kind of like Western studio place. It's kind of like you're going into one of those old villages. And then
they built it in the 70s. Yeah. And because it's old churches and real old buildings they brought in from all over Texas, it's like you're in the real deal with the weeds growing up. I mean, it's not like it's even a fake town.
Yeah, Jesse Ventura said it was like being in Gunsmoke. He was just waiting for somebody to walk out of the saloon and take out their six shooter. So I thought that was great. You know, it was just an incredible time. We're sitting there. We're looking at the Redheaded Stranger poster. We're looking at just Willie throughout the years in the background, and he doesn't really care about himself. I mean, he's just listening to a little radio and hanging out behind the bar. It was just the coolest thing ever. I mean, how about the shot of him on the lawnmower? You know, he just did that recently.
He just suddenly jumps out of the truck, and me and Willie riding around in his truck.
Yeah, absolutely. And he looked like he was having a grand old time. You see the last video he shot with Woody Harrelson was all up at his house, and he has a little track race. We even got to meet some of his family. They were very nice people. I mean, what an experience, folks. I mean, what an experience. And the way Jesse was mobbed when we actually went to the backyard in the back, I mean, you couldn't walk 5 feet without somebody coming up to Ventura and being, oh, Jesse, can I get a – I need a picture right now. Jesse, I love what you do.
And, I mean, just as an indicator of how far our movement's gone, we were mobbed by the people.
Oh, yeah.
Not just in the front, but in the backstage.
Oh, yeah, there were plenty of people coming up to you.
I mean, myself included. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, people – Alex, I love what you do. Thank you so much.
So it shows we're really having an effect.
Yeah.
And the thing is, people have to get ready to win. You have to get ready for us to get Best Actress this year and German defense ministers and Italian former president – and Hollywood people and Bruce Willis and Rick Linkletter and Naomi Wolf, all these mainline liberals. We have to be ready to win. We have to be ready to wake up conservatives and liberals. We have to be ready to have icons come to our aid, you know, because, you know, that's showing their courage to speak out. And I have to say, you know, some of Willie's folks are scared of what he's doing with us. You know, he's been death threatened quite a bit for coming on this show, and he hasn't given in to it. And but, you know, some of the people around him don't like it. Mm. And so that's something that has to be understood, too. There are people out there that are doing everything they can to stop this information from coming out. We've been getting a lot of death threats here at the office lately. And some people are even signing their names onto them. And we're so busy fighting the New World Order that we're not even stopping to, you know, to deal with that. But everything that's happening is so exciting. And I know folks are really chomping at the bit to see all these behind-the-scenes video because that's the key. Also, the live little speeches we did there, some of the reports we did from the venue. So that is all coming up. Burmese, you never turn your cell phone off when you come in studio.
I try.
Sorry, just, but you're like holding it instead of turning it off. Just take it out and turn it off.
Turning it off, sir.
You're a little – no, I mean, I know it's radical to say turn your cell phone off. Hey, look at mine. It's turned off.
See, mine's busted. It's hard to turn off. All right, there we go. Got it done. Oh,
give me that.
You've got my cell phone, good sir.
Put these on both sides of my head and cook my brain.
How about Jesse Ventura refusing to carry a cell phone?
I love the government. I love the New World Order. Ah, the government's good. They never lie. Everything's fine. Sure, they're talking about martial law all over the news and rioting and police state, but it's safe. Oh, the government loves me.
All right. I'm going to keep this for the duration of the broadcast. Like the teacher, I'm going to set it right over here.
All right.
You want this.
Oh.
Take me and strike me down with it. All of your power.
It's hard not to be hooked in, Alex. I mean, I guess I kind of envy Ventura because he won't carry around a cell phone. But how is anyone going to get in touch with that man while he's down in Mexico? I guess it's just not going to happen.
That's the plan.
Yeah, I know that is the plan. Good for him. I can't leave society.
I know where he lives now. He told me about
it. Oh, yeah, that's right. We talked about his whole deal. And, dude, again, just awesome. I mean, Jesse Ventura is talking about how he's powering his whole home down there by solar energy. you know, getting off the grid.
And again, people say, oh, who cares about celebrities? Well, the point is the culture does. They're mad with it. They're obsessed with it. And to have big celebrities coming out for 9/11 truth, coming out against the war, coming out against the New World Order, that is the shift in society. And the establishment is scared. And then to find out that, you know, Jesse Ventura is so real, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know a lot of celebrities, and these are two super genuine guys compared to most celebrities. I mean, just so real.
Mm-hmm. And it's not just one time. You know, they didn't just come on your show one time. They keep pressing the issue. And there continues to be other people that aren't just celebrities. For instance, who is it? The Japanese parliamentary member, what is it, Fujita, I believe his name is?
Yeah.
He just went again and did a 25-minute speech before Parliament on 9/11 truth, and he keeps pressing that issue in Japan, and that is very important.
And he's one of the top leaders in his party.
That's right, and it's the opposition party. It's one of the two main parties over there, and for him to get up in front of those politicians and say what he's saying is so beneficial to our movement. It gives us a global credibility that we're going to need to topple these tyrants. You know, we need more people in governments around the world to start talking about this. We need more celebrities to start talking about this. We need more mainline talk show hosts to start talking about this stuff. And I think Jesse Ventura, Willie Nelson, Charlie Sheen, Rosie O'Donnell, these are great ways to get it out because they do have that influence.
And it creates
contacts.
A big media circus, which then people hear about 9/11 truth. They hear about government-sponsored terror. And by people say, well, that was 7 years ago. If we don't expose 9/11, at least to the public mind, you know, much less convictions, then they will continue to carry it out over and over again. They continue to use it to take your freedoms.
That's right. And it's not like 9/11 is an isolated incident. We know the 7/7 bombings in Europe, in London, had drills going on at the same exact time of the same exact train stations being blown up. I mean, is that a coincidence, Alex? Of course it's not a coincidence. And the real key to that not being a coincidence, and this being more state-sponsored terror, to control people, to instill fear in people, to grab onto your liberties and freedoms. You had a member of these drills, a member of Visor Consultants, Peter Power, someone who was not in the loop, getting on Sky Television and the BBC, and new listeners can check this out, saying that the hair on the back of his neck is standing up right now because at the exact same time they were running drills of blowing up the exact same train stations. And the BBC kind of follows up on it and goes, that is an incredible coincidence. He's like, yes, it is an incredible coincidence. And then last year, because of people like you and myself, We Are Change, which is now a global institution. I mean, if you want it, you got it. You can go up to a politician. You can go up to somebody who is a corporate entity. You can go up to one of these elites and ask a question. We Are Change Ireland, in a country far, far away, finds Peter Powers, asks him who he's going to run the drills, who he was running the drills for, and the man walks into a closet, Alex. he walks into another room.
He was hiding.
In a closet. If that doesn't scream guilt, and those are just two instances that we can prove in the last 2 years.
By the way, NIST has had to admit now that the North Tower didn't fall into the South Tower, didn't knock out 25% to 30% of it. But Jesse's doing well. I don't want to get into it. The point is, he's going around confronting all these people, mm-hmm. and they're still just spewing the same bull.
That's right. That's right. It's the same talking.
Man, I know so much I can't talk about here.
Well, you know, I mean,
a lot of exciting stuff.
I still get those talking points, too. Oh, 25% of the back face of World Trade Center 7 was scooped out.
And we have video. It isn't.
And it's not. We have video inside the building.
And now NIST has retracted that.
Yeah, they absolutely have.
And then now these big firms, institutions, and big architecture institutes are coming out and saying, we've read your report. This is impossible.
Yeah.
I mean, but again, the debunkers count on people being stupid and not looking deeper.
Mm-hmm.
They just count on putting out disinformation, and that isn't working anymore.
No, it's absolutely right. Let me give you an example of what they do. Okay, they just make a claim that is completely untrue and then run with it. For instance, one of the big debunkers' claims is that the military drills that morning immediately ended as soon as the real attacks happened. And they just spew this. They give no evidence. But we have the NORAD tapes, Alex. These drills went on all morning long, at least through Flight 93 going down. And then when they called into Cheyenne Mountain, it took another 20 to 25 minutes for them to shut these drills down. That's all morning. That's not 8:45 they stopped. But that doesn't matter, because whenever I talk to a debunker, they say right away, oh, well, they put those drills on hold at 8:45. That ended. That's not real. There was no hijacking drills that morning. When you can look at the NORAD games, Vigilant Guardian, Vigilant Warrior, Apollo Guardian, Global Guardian, and they're running live hijack drills. They're running a mass Armageddon exercise where E-4Bs, in other words, mobile command centers for the quote-unquote shadow government or continuity of government program just happened to be on the scene of the attacks.
Now, Burmis, I want to add something here before we get into some other news and take phone calls before Sully Costello joins us. You're wanting to do a radio show again. You've been so busy making Fabled Enemies that you quit your Genesis show for a while. And we're moving into the other studio, but I don't have the people hired to do the video in. You're going to do a show over Genesis. I have no desire to get involved with the radio network. I'm so tired of people telling me that. There's no way I would try to get involved managing all those personalities and dealing with all of it, but I want to get your show back on Genesis. You're talking, but it will also be streamed on PrisonPlanet.tv. And so look for that in the next few months.
I mean, yeah.
You're building your studio. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a nice little area there and do a two-hour show. We're not sure about what time to do it. We had talked about this in the past. So Jason Burmis will be coming back on the airwaves in the next few months. But let's not procrastinate forever and then not have it happen. But the other variant of that, it's also going to be on the web at PrisonPlanet.tv. And you're building a TV studio. The screen's behind you, video feeds.
I'm blessed, Alex.
And then our new studio, not just for the TV show I'm going to do nationally, that's only 1 hour a week starting. And then also do web reports from the nice setup and everything. But we're going to have a studio for radio. It's got little robotic cameras and a big back screen and curtains. And just going to have a podium, too, where I can give speeches or have announcements. I mean, it's pretty kick butt.
I really believe we're going to give the mainstream media a hell of a run for their money, and they're not even going to see it coming. I mean, I really do. I mean, our studios are going to look slick. Hopefully our presentation is going to be bigger than ever, and more people are going to be pulled into this, Alex. I mean, you've done so much already.
And, folks, we would do this faster, but when you're busy working 16, 17 hours, I mean, more. Last night, I got up at 7, went and we had breakfast with Ventura. We went here and got ready and met him for breakfast at 9. But I got up at, like, really 6:30, left the house at 7, came and met with you guys at 8. And we went, and then last night I dropped him off at, 12:30, and we came back here to the office, worked some more. Then I went home.
It's a 20-hour day.
Yeah, exactly. And then I couldn't help myself. I had to go look up this Dean Barkley candidate on the web. I mean, literally, we're burning with the passion for liberty and freedom. And people ask how we can work so much because we have passion. And, folks, you've got that same passion. You've just got to put it into effect in small ways. It will build. Whether your radio show online has 10 listeners or a million, the point is taking action or using Access TV or Micro FM. More people need to put up Micro FM and, put on some of these networks. I mean, there's so much, but you were talking about something when I interrupted you.
No, that's okay, Alex. I mean, again, I really think we're going to give the mainstream media a run for their money. I think we're going to be slick. You've done such a great job with your PrisonPlanet.tv fourth hour on the air show in the last, what's only been on, what, about 6-7 months, not even?
Yeah.
I mean, that's so huge. I mean, you see it every day, and it's getting 10, 15, 20,000 hits on YouTube. That's awesome.
Yeah, let's explain. The members get the live stream and the higher quality because without it, we couldn't operate. You folks aren't just getting your higher quality streams and videos. You are making it possible here. And then we love the members ripping and getting it all over the map. But the great guy over at the Alex Jones channel, which is not us. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're not control freaks. He tried to give us the channel, and we're like, But the more I think about it, maybe we should, just so some other cretin doesn't get it and then attack us, because that's how it works. But the guy's real nice. But this morning I got an email, literally no sleep, 3.5 hours. I'm in here stumbling around before the show, like an hour before. And we see his email saying, hey, guys, you didn't post my latest videos. And, I mean, yeah, it's just Kurt Nemo over at InfoWars. We're overwhelmed. And then that's what I feel bad about, is that our own supporters, people that email me, and I'm not bashing him, he's a great guy, he works so hard, he posts like 10, 15 videos a day. And thank you, Alex Jones channel guy. I don't even have time to call him up on the phone and thank him. I don't have time to hardly see my family anymore. And I'm going to say this, we're almost done with the studios. I'm going to have to take some time off just to be with my family. My children are getting big, and I don't, I'm seeing them 2 hours a day, but I'm kind of tired today, so I'm just kind of brainstorming and babbling. The point is to all of you, we appreciate you. We just can't respond to the emails and everything. There's not many
you
of us.
Have doubt.
Never sung along to this song. Stingray! Stingray!
The last bumper music was Jimmy Vaughn. I got to see him play it live last night on the stage, Alex. How great was that? I know we're going to put some of that up there, too, Jimmy Vaughn.
Yeah, we did an interview with him and Ventura.
Yeah. He was a really nice guy.
Yeah, they're great, great people. And his wife, Robin. Oh, my goodness. We got Sully Costello coming up. That really bums me out. We'll have him on at the 8 after. Set up by the feds. It's a 3-year conviction.
Is that what they sentenced him to?
Yeah, I got that fun email this morning. Well, I mean, it's hard enough just to read all these emails, and Trey's in there reading them as fast as he can. Aaron's in there trying to read them in between webmastering and posting videos and doing everything else. And I'm not complaining. I was trying to explain before the break, we are limited. I mean, there's one, two, three. There's really three people who full-time or even part-time deal with video here. Mm-hmm. And then I've got in this office two people that can do web stuff. And then I've got the two Watsons, and we got Kurt. And, I mean, in the bigger office, we can now get a few extra people to try to go over all this stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm just – all the time I get emails going, when I email my senator, I get a response back. I'm not getting a response back from you. Folks, we don't have it. Now, I'll say this. We could have another bunny bomb called answer all the emails, respond to all the phone calls, bunny bomb. But in a way, I don't think that's – I mean, I know I'm missing a lot of calls. I mean, when Charlie Sheen tried to get in contact with me, he tried to get in contact with me for a month until we finally got his email and saw it. You know, it's the same thing with so many other people that I've missed. I mean, I've run into celebrities later, and like, I tried to contact you 3 years ago. You know, so we do need to be able to go through everything. But at the same time, I don't even know why I'm getting off into this. It's just I make the point time and time again. I see so many people get mad that we can't respond.
Or we can't tell
cover,
every story. Yeah.
Or cover every event. They think it's like a conspiracy.
Yeah.
You know, folks, I am literally dizzy right now. I'm so tired.
Yeah, I mean, I just got an email the other day about this Rothschild situation. Apparently one of the younger Rothschilds wrote a big letter to the editor in Europe accusing the shadow chancellor over there and Mendelsohn.
Yeah, that's in the press.
Yeah, of taking illegal contributions from this Russian billionaire. And the guy's like, well, why aren't you guys covering it? It sounds suspicious to me. I'm like, look, man, there's only the BBC America in this neck
no,
of the
woods. No, you just told us.
Yeah, you just told us. We don't see that in our media, number
in fact,
one.
In fact, we need you to email us stories and links and news because probably a tenth of my emails are, why are you covering this up? It's something that happened 2 hours ago or a day ago. And I'm like,
Sometimes it could be a week and we miss it. I mean, we're not perfect. We're human beings like everybody else, Alex. I mean, we're not perfection, you know, and we need more people.
God, we're far from it. Are you kidding? Far from it. Look at this. Look at these eyes. Far from perfection. I was basically going through clouds of smoke yesterday. I wasn't any secondhand willy weed. I'm just joking. No, I mean, it was like...
You know how it is when you're out of the Willy Land. I mean, how cool is it that he hangs out on his tour bus? I mean, he's literally... You know, you hear that.
No, he walked on the bus and nothing was going on. It was like layers.
It's just crazy to me, man. I mean, this
literally
was,
like in an old smoke-filled bar, but yeah. It wasn't cigarettes.
And it wasn't even really a decked-out bus, you know, Willy. Willy, again, just totally
It looked
modest.
Like my grandmother's kitchen.
Yeah, it's like salt of the earth. Like, yeah, literally.
Well, like
right.
His house is just one big kitchen. Yeah. So everybody really lives in their kitchen.
Yeah.
And if I ever had the money for a really big house, that's what I'd have. Is I'd have a house with a huge kitchen mm-hmm. built onto the living room.
Yeah, and it was a gorgeous house, but again, very modest. I'd never seen that construction. People will see little clips of it, but they actually had, like, cut wood trees in the cement. It was really
yeah, that's the German style.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Yeah, those are really great. All right, we have really babbled here. You know, you ought to go, because I'm going to have Costello on for about 30 minutes with us. You ought to go pull, later during a break, I want you with us. You ought to go pull that particular Rothschild story, because I saw that, I think, yesterday in the morning. I never got to it. This is the first time I've been back on air. So we'll cover that, too, coming up. I got a bunch of other news. Stay with us.
For high quality right now at prisonplanet.tv. Knowledge is power, and the information you need to effectively wake up your fellow man and fight the new world order is available right now at truthnews.us and prison.
We're back live. We got Sully Costello coming up, and we got Jason Berman's riding shotgun. Well, this will do a new big news blitz I haven't covered yet. At the end of the show, I covered some of it, but about two-thirds of the stack is still here. Vital info on a host of issues. One of these articles alone, I could spend all day. The mainstream news now admitting everything we warned them about for the last 13 years. It's all Pentagon design, face scanning, retina scanning, thumbprinting everywhere to buy and sell. It's going to go in everywhere. The license plate scanners are following you. They want you to know now. Your walk, AI computer systems watching everything you do from the time you leave your home, everything you purchase. I mean, just no Fourth Amendment, total microscope, total tyranny, while the government makes everything they do, like the criminal banker takeover bailout, secret. And the White House press secretary says, well, we just need to trust our Treasury secretary. I mean, folks, it is just they are going for broke, Burmese.
Yeah, and they're integrating new systems all the time. You know, I have my little Price Chopper card to get my discount because I can't get anything on sale anymore. They make you carry the
card.
They
actually use that to war game to figure out what people can't. It's a complex algorithm to screw you.
And even better now, Alex, they have now teamed up with Sunoco. So now when I use my card, I get 10, 20, 30 cents off gas. So now they get me twice. All right, now if I go
shopping.
They're
linking databases.
Absolutely linking databases. And how can you not do it? I mean, you know you're going to shop there anyway. You know gas is over $3 a gallon.
How can you not do it, Burmish? You're so worldly.
I know it's tough.
You just buy into everything they do.
I'm saying for the average person, groceries have gone up. Gas has gone up.
Because they know how to grid us now. It's all psychological system, warfare system to destroy us.
And I know, and I get caught up in these systems. I mean, Alex, my two choices in my town is I can go to the Walmart, which is total Chinese slave labor. Everybody should go out and see Walmart. The high cost of low price is a real eye-opener.
Or yeah, you live in rural upstate New York.
Yeah, or I can go to Price Chopper. Now, I can either give my money to these slave masters at Walmart, or I can give my money to these new control masters at Price Chopper, who are now not only tracking what I eat and buy.
Well, if you're going to do it, you should at least give them disinfo name.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't use my own card, actually. I use one of my college friends' little card. That is true. It's
now, let me tell you when I found this out 11 years ago in federal documents, we covered them on air at the time. I don't even remember what they were now. Mm-hmm. But you can go pull it up. You'll find it. Everything I tell you is documented. But today, my memory's not working too well. The point is, it said they're going to have a national sales tax, but they're going to keep the income tax. They're just going to rename it. Mm-hmm. So all these fair tax. Yeah, folks, just wait. Fine. Believe that I'm lying and just find out. You want it? Fine. Just, you know what? Have it. I told you the banks were hoarding all the money. Now it's mainstream news. You're not going to get any of it. All you're going to get is a barrel in the mouth from some idiot.
And that's New York Times today, by the way.
Yeah, I know. But the point here is that I don't even care anymore. Why should I tell them? The point is they're getting you ready to show your ID and thumbprint to buy and sell for a national sales tax, which is going to be graduated. They're going, oh, it's fair. If you're poor, you won't pay. But that's only at first. And they're going to track everything you do. Then they're going to have social workers come after you saying you're eating unhealthy food, environmental police. It's going to be carbon credits. It's all official. It's all it's hell, okay? It's hell.
And that'll even tie into Codex Alimentarius, which you discussed really briefly earlier, where they're literally trying to now regulate what we eat. You know,
there's no end to it, Burmese.
There isn't an end. And Codex Alimentarius, I encourage people out there to go look into it because there really has not been a mainstream work or even a non-mainstream work, an alternative work that's gone big. And this is something people need to know about. They're trying to put this legislation through in 2011 or 2012 at the latest. And I think it's scary that the government's...
Well, a lot of that's red herring. Mm-hmm. They're already putting in Codex Alimentarius under other names. Mm-hmm. They're already cracking down on vitamin makers and others. Of course, there's a few bad apples and a few bad examples. But they want to even regulate vitamin C and stuff. They're already doing it at the state level. They're threatening vitamin companies to incriminate themselves. I got a bunch of news I never got to about that last week. Folks, we're getting hit from too many sides here. I can't even keep track of it anymore. It's everything we told you and worse. It's happening faster than I thought.
Oh, God.
Well, we're at the tip of the spear, Alex, and we just got to keep pressing forward, man, and trying to take this Goliath down.
We don't have a choice. I mean, they're building a psychological, technological enslavement grid. They say that's what it is. And Katie barred the door because, I mean, these people are a bunch of eugenicists. Look at Paulson. He's the Nature Conservancy former head. He admits he's anti-human. I mean, they hate us, man. They hate us. We'll be right back.
Ask yourself, is there a natural way to...
Oh, God.
Well, we're at the tip of the spear, Alex, and we just got to keep pressing forward, man, and trying to take this Goliath down.
We don't have a choice. They're building a psychological, technological enslavement grid. They say that's what it is. And Katie barred the door because, I mean, these people are a bunch of eugenicists. Look at Paulson. He's the Nature Conservancy former head. He admits he's anti-human. I mean, they hate us, man. They hate us. We'll be right back.
The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street, and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe. Our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore.
We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to ride. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. My life has value. I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore. I want you to get up right now. Get up, go to your windows, open them, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Well, I wish we could have him on under better circumstances. You know, again, our listeners, we didn't used to do it a lot. We do it more and more, trying to help people in distress. And you raised quite a bit for his defense, but not enough. And obviously, it was a rigged game. So now, I guess he's going to try to appeal or going away for 3 years. So look at Stello, who was an Army sniper in Vietnam. He was then a sheriff's deputy down on the border. He then was a DEA agent, the head guy down there over quite a few in Central and South America and Mexico. Witnessed government drug dealing, shipping narcotics into the United States out of Elapango and others. And Selly likes to go to gun shows and sell his book, Powder Burns. But I remember going back, must have been like now when I first interviewed Selly and talked to him probably about 8 years ago. And then Kevin Booth made the drug war film. It's been on national television, and they really got mad. They even mentioned that when they set him up and arrested him. Oh, the guy on TV. That's been won a bunch of awards, been on Showtime. And incidentally, we have that video available on DVD at Infowars.com, American Drug War. It's 2 hours long with 3 hours of extras. It's really like five-hour film. But Shelley got set up. So, Shelley, why don't you recap? First off, we're praying for him. We tried our best to help you here. First off, about how you got set up, what happened in the trial, because you haven't been speaking a lot during the trial, keeping your head down, I guess like your lawyers told you, but recap what happened for folks and then what unfolded during the trial, Selly.
Well, from the get-go, Alex, I knew that I hadn't done anything illegal, and I complained to the agents about it and so forth, and my attorney brought this to the attention of the U.S. Attorney's Office, and they said, no, Selly, he's guilty, he's going to do this and that and this and that. Well, bottom line, Alex, 7 months later, on October 1st, the government dismissed my case completely under Polk versus U.S., and I wasn't a prohibited person, and what I was doing was not against the law. So when I went up there before to get my charges dropped, well, lo and behold, the U.S. prosecutor comes out with two new charges, and it's selling guns without a license and added and abating on selling license without a license.
So it really is double jeopardy because, it's not the classic double jeopardy, but it is. You're found not, it's thrown out, and so they just slap more on you.
Well, yeah, exactly. They realized they made a mistake, and basically what happened, they weren't about to let me go.
Well, let's go back to the original case, how they set you up. I mean, you're not some big gun dealer. You're allowed to have private sales.
Well, exactly. I was at the gun shows, and I was, doing like what have other vendors do at the gun shows,
Well, it's like you told me about 4 years ago when I saw you at the gun show. I said, oh, last time I didn't see you selling guns, and you had two or three on the table. You said, yeah, I can't even afford to drive around Texas a few times a month as a school teacher, the gas, to sell five or six books. So just to be here and educate the public, I might sell and trade as a collector. I mean, you're a gun guy. Your dad was a World War II hero. You're a cop, a sniper, a DEA guy. I mean, we're allowed to go and sell guns here. I mean, come on.
Exactly. So anyway, Alex, to make a long story short, I left the courtroom on the first, and I called my mom. She's 84 years old, Alex. And, she says, son, You probably could beat this case if you wanted to, but you know what? It's going to take forever, and I don't have that long. And if you do lose, you know, you'll be going away for about 7 years, so I won't be around, and I want you to be out. So I went back in there, and I pled guilty to the two counts. It was 5-year count each. So that was it, you know. And then I come up to sentences on the 22nd of this month, and I put my letters in like everybody else has, and, you know, the professors, law enforcement guys, professors, you name it. I put about 8 letters in there, a character reference, which were great. And I went up there, and the judge, you know, said that he was going to sentence me to the minimum of the guidelines, which was 37 months. And I said, you know, he didn't take it for granted, my post-traumatic stress disorder or anything else like that. I mean, you know, and I wrote him a letter also, and I said, you know, whatever it is, and, you know, I need to, if you're going to sentence me, then fine. And I argued my points. I had 5 issues I needed to argue on him, and I did. And basically, he objected to all of them and sentenced me to 37 months in a medical facility, Alex. So I'll be in a medical facility somewhere for 3 years, and I'm trying to get my attorney. You know.
Well, thank God you're not going to be in general population.
Well, that's the big plus on it, Alex. And you know, the thing about it is, I got to appeal my sentence, and I got 10 days to do that. And if anybody can help me, just go to my email address, which is powderburns@prodigy.net, and I'll email you right back. You know. For some assistance, but you know, Alex, I believed in the judicial system, and for some reason, I mean, it was I got, you know, nothing. I'm 59 years old, Alex. Never been in trouble before in my life. 20 years of federal law enforcement, being a teacher, being an activist, being everything that I could have done for my country, and I got 37 months.
So, well, I want to stop, and we got plenty of time, and we'll keep it to about 45 after if you can do that, Shelley.
Yeah,
but I mean, we may not hear from you for a while, but we want to try to do this appeal, and I mean, if phone calls, letters, whatever will work, or monetary. And I hate to go to my audience. I don't usually do this last hour for a senator, you know, in Minnesota with Jesse Ventura, this hour for Shelley. You know, I mean, we're just doing what we can here. And
I know, Alex.
Shelley, we appreciate you, but I want to try to explain something to people here. Shelley sounds very resigned now to this, and you know, he's a real man and a real hero and a patriot, but he's not even telling you today what he told you 6 months ago or 5 months ago here on the show. He was clearly set up, just like Randy Weaver. This person kept coming to him saying, please buy these 13 guns or whatever the number was. Please, 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 I'll give you a deal almost for nothing. And Shelley needs money. I mean, Shelley's living in a trailer, taking care of his kids, a school teacher in South Texas, makes almost nothing. He's medically disabled. You know, he's been in all this combat over and over again, and I mean, I happen to know, Shelley didn't have a lot of money, and so, you know, well, yeah, I'll take these guns and sell them. You know, that's totally legal, but it's how they play the game. So let's talk about, it's important for folks to know, in your case, you beat the last fraud, and this all came down on you because you were on national TV, on Nightline, everywhere else, exposing government drug dealing. I mean, you clearly were set up, and then the fact that you beat them and they came back at you. I mean, I want to hear about the arrest and everything that happened.
Yeah, well, basically, that's what it was. You know, the guy who sold me the guns was an individual who did the straw purchase. You know, Alex, he was never arrested till a few months ago because I threatened to address the issue with the judge, and they went out and arrested him. But I don't know if they'll dismiss the case on him now or not. I would feel that they probably would do that, and because he set me up and got me. But you know, he's the individual who actually did the straw purchases, and not me. And he sold them to me, and I just sold the guns. And bottom line is, I beat him on the first thing, and now I need to go back and file the appeal on my sentencing, which is, you know, I had 2 hours arguing with the judge, and he gave me, I think, some pretty good leeway on evidence for appeal. And if I do appeal that, I'll probably go down to maybe 10 levels on the federal guidelines, which means I would qualify for probation. But most important, Alex, most important than anything else, I was told by the government that I would not lose my benefits. And after checking with Social Security, with the Department of Justice, Office of Personnel Management, and the Veterans Administration, I will lose my benefits. If I am incarcerated in a federal facility for a felony, I will lose all benefits, which means it leaves my family out in the cold.
Well, let's be clear here. And I've looked at these cases. Normally, somebody is selling a couple of, quote, guns that were straw purchase at gun shows. You hadn't even done that. You had them at your house.
Right.
I mean, you're talking about maybe probation, maybe plea bargain down to nothing. I mean, hardcore murderers are spending, you know, a couple years in prison. Home invasion people are spending 6 months a lot of times. But here you are with this sparkling record, commendations from President George H.W. Bush. It's like they threw the book at Campos and those other guys, and they almost kill them in prison. They love burning cops, man, in the system.
The problem with that, Alex, that I will, to me, this is a death sentence because of my health issues. Whether it's 1 year or 2 years or 3 years, you know, I went up there and I looked for a headstone already. And I went up there and I did my obituary because I don't think I'm going to survive those 3 years in carcinogenic.
Yeah, you have a lot of medical problems. If you want to talk about those, people know, we can talk about them on the other side. We'll be right back with Sully Costello and Jason Burmes. Well, Sully's a great guy. He was just thanking the listeners to me during the break. Without the 5,000 or whatever it was, surprised it wasn't more, that got out there to him, he wouldn't even have had any defense and would have gotten many, many years in jail. And again, when they arrested him on the side of the road, oh, you're the TV guy that says, how dare you be against the drug war? And they took his book and screamed at him on the side of the road when the stupid state policeman here in Texas doesn't know that Danny Romero, Danny Romero that does his website for him, and Sully Costello and all the people that are exposing the phony drug war are just, you know, out there taking a risk to do that. And, you know, the website, of course, is, what is it, powderburns.com?
It's .org.
Yeah, powderburns.org. Yeah, powderburns.org. And I take a risk saying this. I take a risk doing this here on air. You know, the other people like Danny and others that have supported Sully take a risk. Sully, you know, took a huge risk and got all sorts of threats. I remember you 2 years ago on the show saying, I've had threats. They're telling me they're going to set me up. And we're going to keep you over and talk about your appeal and how folks can help you and the medical issues. But, I mean, I want people to understand what you've gone through in this saga exposing government drug dealing. Sully Costello.
Yeah, well, I've exposed it from the get-go, from the human rights violations by the CIA and down in Central America. And a lot of people will say, well, that happened back in the 80s. Why the issue still going on? Well, what a lot of people don't realize, like the same people that were at the White House at that time period are still working at the White House, like Negroponte and Abrams and other people there. They're still running this administration, and it's very important because they're using the same blueprints that they used back in the 80s with the war in Iraq or with covert operations and, you know, all kinds of issues here with our civil liberties. And I've been exposing this from the very get-go, and the people did tell me that they were going to set me up, and I didn't believe them because I believed in the judicial system. And basically, I got nailed, and I just could not believe it. You know, I got arrested. I got thrown with 100 of the worst criminals in Texas. Can you imagine if one of them would have found out what I had done for a living, you know, and they didn't even take my 6-inch blade from me. And I had it with me all day. And thank God I didn't get hurt.
You're saying the police, when they threw you back in there, let you keep your knife?
Yes, not only that, let me keep my $200 I had in my pocket, and I was not given my medication, you know, and although they did have my medication, but they didn't give it to me. So I felt that, you know, I was being set up to get whacked and or killed or whatever because, you know, I mean, this is a federal facility. I mean, how is it possible that they didn't search me? And I kept waiting for them to, you know, search me and do everything they had to do, but I just... And I called them several times, and they just kept saying, wait.
Oh, you told them, take my knife.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't want to say that because then the other guys would have probably tried to rush me and try to get the knife from me, you know?
Oh, but, I understand. Tell us about the second arrest, because the judge throws out the first one. Explain why that setup was thrown out.
Well, it was set up because there's a case law called Polk versus U.S. And they basically charged me with the wrong counts, and my attorney beat that, and finally they told them that they were going to have to dismiss the case. But they would not dismiss my case until I pled out to the two new counts. So it was I didn't even have time to read the whole agreement that I was pleading out to, and the reason that one of the other reasons that I pled out was because the U.S. attorney told me, if you plead out to this, you will not lose your benefits. And then he addressed the court because the judge wanted to find out why the case was being dismissed and I was being charged with the other two. And he stood up and he told the judge, you know, he's taking this plea because he won't lose his benefits on this plea.
Well, I just want to thank everybody that has helped you, all the listeners.
Oh, absolutely.
Ted Anderson having you on, Kevin Booth exposing, all the information that you brought forward, Danny Romero doing your website, everybody, but especially the listeners. And when we come back, we got a long segment. I want Burmese to be able to pop in. I want to talk about how people can write letters to the appeals court, how they can, help you in other ways. Give out your email address. You were telling me off air that's the best place to specifically contact you if people want to, again, just if they feel called to help you, a great patriot who went public on government drug dealing. Give out that email address.
Yes, sir. It's Powder Burns, plural with an S, Powder Burns at Prodigy, PRODIGY.net. Or you can call me at 956-345-5770. Once again, 956-345-5770.
All right, we're going to come back and get more into the case and where this is going, and then talk about government narcotics trafficking with that CIA aircraft a few months ago crashing with 3.3 tons of pure cocaine on a CIA aircraft. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Shelley Costello is our guest.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run.
PRODIGY.net. Or you can call me at 956-345-5770. Once again, 956-345-5770.
All right, we're going to come back and get more into the case and where this is going, and then talk about government narcotics trafficking with that CIA aircraft a few months ago crashing with 3.3 tons of pure cocaine on a CIA aircraft. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Shelley Costello is our guest. I know we've got phone calls holding, and Shelley's going to leave us here in about 10 minutes, and we'll go to your calls. Burmese, you want to run out and find that Rothschild clip you keep talking about so John can play it? You reminded me about that. Shelley, what was it like to learn that another CIA aircraft crashed in Mexico with 3.3 tons of pure cocaine? And, of course, that means it's coming directly from the source. And it turned out it was one of the torture aircraft the CIA was using for kidnapped people in the U.S. to fly them out of the country and fly drugs back in. I mean, did that surprise you to see that add to the list of hundreds of times that they've been caught with the cocaine and heroin in their hands?
Well, no, not at all, because that's how they support their covert operation. That's how they did it in Central America. You know, they ran those drugs from South America into the U.S. for guns and brought them back. And, you know, you go back to the Vietnam War, Alex, when they were smuggling heroin in body bags. So, you know, there have always been consistency in the evidence of our government being complicit in drug trafficking. So it didn't surprise me at all when I heard about that plane going down in Mexico that at one time or another belonged to the CIA. So, you know, it's they've been doing business like that for many, many, many years. And they're continuing to do so they can run the special ops in whether Mexico or Central America or back to Iraq.
Now, you said 5 years ago on this show that they were using former Latin American Death Squad commanders and new recruits in Iraq. It came out 2 years later in the mainstream news, not just in Latin America, but in the West. You also talked about thousands being killed every few months in Mexico, total drug war with CIA and bank-backed government at war with real cartels that you said, from memory, about 20% of the business is theirs, 80% U.S. government. And now all of that's blown wide open with the State Department saying the Mexican border with Texas is the most dangerous place in the world, worse than the West Bank. 2,000 deaths so far this year just on the Texas-Mexico border. 2,000. I mean, it is just out of control. What is behind that now? And can you tell us what's coming in the future in case you do go to prison and we don't get to talk to you?
Yeah, what's coming in the future, Alex, is they're going to start taking out a lot of the federal agents. For example, ATF. ATF has gone rogue warriors in the border here, and they're just arresting people, leaving the gun shows and this and that. And what's going to happen is they're going to start taking these guys out because they buy the weapons here in the U.S. And you know what, Alex? The majority of the weapons are going into Mexico. They're going to the military because the military has now built what is known as paramilitary, just like they did in Colombia. They're building them in Mexico. So they're mercs. They're going out and having scrimmages with the cartels. So they need the weapons for their own organization, and basically that's what they're doing. Just remember that the military's got those 50 cals and so forth, and they're nothing compared to the cartels. So the military is heavily involving drug trafficking into the U.S., and they ship a lot of weapons and a lot of money into Mexico via the border. And of course, there's no exception. There's a couple of ATF agents that are on the payroll, one FBI, I think, and several DEA agents who've been working for the cartels for many, many years, and they're still doing it. So they get intelligence. They know when what's coming down the pipeline and who's being targeted and so forth. So, you know, it's very well organized, but there's a lot of competition and a lot of freelancers, and that's what when people are getting whacked. And it's spilled over.
We just lost him.
Just lost him. Let's get him back on the line there. That's why they don't want him out. And by the way, he's been on Frontline. He's been on Nightline. He's been on Dateline. You can go to his website and see all those clips. I mean, it's just amazing that he's done all of this, went public, and he was there with Oliver North as they were loading the cocaine on the planes in Elopongo. And then I can have Terry Reid on, who was CIA, at MENA with Bill Clinton and all them. And you know, he's there just kind of running, you know, keeping the aircraft in order. He'd done that and been a pilot, and he was one of the trainers for the new CIA guys. And he was watching the cocaine land on the other end. And this is pure cocaine. I mean, it's coming directly from the source. And what they do in Colombia is, and this is even on our news, the U.S. spray planes in the war on drugs only spray the communist-owned coca. They don't spray this side. And I've talked to, and it's been in the news as well, but a lot of troops separately, not just in the news, have been in Afghanistan where it's eightfold what it was in 2001, and it's about double the previous record. It was only fourfold for the previous record. So it's eight times. Heroin is just flooding Europe, flooding Asia, flooding the United States, super cheap, get everybody addicted, just like the British brought down China that way. And I've talked to the troops who were there, and they say, yeah, we go and we guard poppy fields, and then they even have official stories to lie to them. You know, they'll be there for a month, and then they say, okay, now we're rotating you out. We're going to destroy these. If people ask, well, aren't we destroying these? Oh, no, that'll be destroyed later. And then they'll rotate back through and then be told, no, those were harvested. So our troops are there guarding, sitting on top the opium. That's why they're there. Sully, can you speak to that?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. They you know, we go in Mexico, in Colombia, in Peru, in Bolivia. I remember at one time or another, we had the best satellite photos of all the coca plantations, the hectares and so forth, and we never sprayed them. We only sprayed a small amount to put on a dog and pony show, and every year we have a bigger production of cocaine coming into the U.S., and then heroin in Afghanistan, the same thing. Now we control Afghanistan, and we've got the biggest production harvest of heroin coming into the U.S., so it's got to tell you that the United States government is complicit in the drug trade. Simple as that.
I mean, how much more obvious, Sally Costello, does it have to get for people?
Well, basically what happens now, Alex, it's now one in three of the immediate family that are either using or selling drugs. So it's affecting the families, and it's destroying the families And basically, that's why we have a lot of one-parent family, you know. And their parents are going to jail, and
listen,
their brothers and uncles and everybody are going to jail.
I knew gorgeous girls, smart, the best in school, turned into total crack whores. I knew had great friends, handsome, smart football players, ruined. And the amount of poison that's in illegal drugs, when you decriminalize it, all that poison isn't added to them. And like the methamphetamine, it's the poison in it to make it because they're using other ingredients. Before drugs were illegal, this country was a lot better, weren't? I mean, bottom line, Sally.
Exactly. And, we're continuing. That's why, just remember one thing, Alex. We spend billions of dollars in source countries like Colombia and Peru or Afghanistan to try to stop this so-called war on drugs, and it doesn't work. It has never worked. Law enforcement has never worked. We got over 40 years of experience that has not worked. So the answer and the solution it's got to be education, prevention, and treatment. As a member of LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, we need to educate the public that we got to do something to stop prohibition especially on marijuana and so forth, because it's hurting a lot of people, and our civil liberties are being stamped on.
You're absolutely right, Shelley. Jason, jump in there. Jason Burmes.
Yeah, we were talking about the drug war with Jesse Ventura, and it just made me think to make the point that they do like people convicted of smaller crimes, these smaller drug crimes, even marijuana is criminalized, to put people in the system into their privatized prisons so they can work for AT&T or Sprint for 39 cents an hour at slave wages and not have to outsource to third world countries. So for them, it's a win-win. They're smuggling the stuff in dirt cheap. They're making a premium on it, and then the people that use it go to their privatized prisons to work slave labor for them. This system has to change, Alex.
And then all these good old boys go, good, make them criminals work. But it's dry. I mean, you think somebody in India getting $2 an hour is taking your job. You think somebody in Mexico making $2 an hour is taking your job. Or here in the U.S. for $4, some illegal immigrant. Well, forget them. The real threat to our jobs and is the 4 million behind bars, another 4 million in the system, working for slave labor, and they make people work in these prisons.
Oh yeah,
and people don't know they're doing a lot of the telemarketing. They're booking flights for people. They are taking over the industries right now.
Absolutely, and it's just incredible that the general populace is totally and completely ignorant to this fact. They really need to get involved and see what these private institutions are doing, how they interact with one another, and really how it is a control grid for the common man. I had a couple friends, unfortunately, this year succumb to heroin addiction and have to go to rehab, and they're still struggling with it. And these are people I would have never thought, Alex, and it's just crazy to me. And, we're not out there to help them. We're really out there to imprison them.
Well, the people shipping it in are the ones that are running the police, and there's no doubt of that. Everybody knows, and we're just tired of it. We're tired of your criminal activities. That's why I tell young people, don't ever use drugs that first time. And I'm not talking about a few beers or, even somebody smoking marijuana. The problem is that brings you into cultures. It is a gateway to the stronger drugs. And what kills more people is prescription drugs and the Ritalin and the Prozac than all illegal drugs combined. You can look at those numbers. It's just staggering. But alcohol is very dangerous. Cigarettes are dangerous. Thank God I never got into hard drugs. I tried them once or twice and always hated the way they made me feel. But I've struggled with alcohol, cigarettes. I have a serious issue with those because I'm like a ping pong. Not a lot of alcohol, but drink a few beers, smoke cigarettes. It's not good for me. And then I get off of it, get back on it. So, imagine going to prison for cigarettes and beer. That's basically because cigarettes affect the same areas of the brain and has the, in a CAT scan or a scan of the brain, it lights up the same areas as cocaine and heroin. Do we put cigarette smokers in prison, Sally?
Yeah, it's just it's amazing how they're doing this. And one of the things I think that you might have missed, Alex, is the fact that once you're a convicted felon, you don't vote. So that's a good way of trying to suppress a lot of the people from voting.
They're also destroying the economy, so everybody's got to join the military.
Exactly.
Because that's all that's left is government jobs.
That's all there's left, and a lot of people are getting hurt by going into the military. And remember, they're looking for survival.
Yeah.
And hoping that they won't get hurt. And once they do get hurt, they lose a limb or something, then they commit suicide.
Well, Shelley, Let's give out, you're saying the best place for people is to email you at this address.
Right, at powderburns@prodigy.net. You can send my, your donations there, because I do need to pay my attorney now, and I have to pay for that appeal on the sentencing. So if you please could help, and I would certainly appreciate it. And once again, you can go straight to my email address at powderburns@prodigy.net, or you can call me at 956-345-5770. And I certainly thank you, Alex, for what you're doing for me.
Well, Shelly, I mean, if you don't beat this, when will you be going into jail?
Well, the
prison.
The judge was great at giving me self-surrender March 5th, so he gave me plenty of time to take care of my family before I leave. So, you know, I certainly do appreciate that the judge did give me that. And
well, they know they're sending an innocent person to jail for fake gun laws put in to place by the drug-dealing government so they can imprison American citizens and have a reason to harass us.
You know, Alex, I might be incarcerated, but I'll never be silent. You know, I'll do my activism from inside, and then when I get out, I'll do the same thing. I'll continue to educate the public, and basically that's the big answer to a lot of our problems. People are not aware of what's going on, whether it's with a drug issue or suppression of other stuff, but we need to educate the public, and you're certainly doing a great job on that.
Well, Shelly, stay in touch with us as this unfolds and develops, and thanks for getting in touch with us.
Okay. Thank you so much, Alex, for having me.
You bet. Shelly, you still there? Okay, great. He's gone. I thought he hung up. Yeah, and again, when it rains, it pours. This day is like, help this senator out. You know, help Shelly Castillo out. You know, that's so many people. We try to help. We try to be a platform, and we ask the listeners for a lot. You know, I only ask the listeners to support our sponsors and get our books and videos, because this is not cheap doing this and operating here. And I want to get into this Rothschild news and a few other news stories at the end of the show. Looks like we're not going to have time to get to those calls. And Burmese, let's just set this up now. Let's have you fill in a full day one day this week, and then maybe 1 or 2 hours the other day.
Okay.
Because I've got so much to get done. Plus, you're one of the few people out there who can really actually do the show well. We've had a lot of people fill in and do the show, have done a great job, but you hold the internet numbers, which we use as a gauge, at the closest to what I'm able to hold them at, and we use that as a gauge for the listeners. So that's certainly good to have you when you are here in town, and I can't wait till your studio is set up up there in upstate New York, because then you can fill in on this show. And then maybe I'll have you some days when I'm out of town, and maybe Bob Dacey together or something. You know, go back and forth. That's a good mix. Speaking of funding, our sponsors are how we pay for this show. And we're going to go to break here in a minute, come back and hit a few final news stories. But I want to tell you on air about who does make this show possible. This is what supports us, and we appreciate you doing that, especially in these hard times. But the other thing is, I only get sponsors I believe in. And we have four big sponsors: eFoods Direct, Cola Blue, New Vitality, and Food Shortage USA. Let me tell you about eFoods Direct. They are the longest continually operating storable foods company in the nation. They are where I have chosen to get my storable foods. It's where I've bought food for other family that couldn't afford it. Yes, I really believe all this. I really believe they're setting up a depression, and see, it's all happening. And I really believe the New World Order is poisoning us and killing us. And see, I happen to have the documents, so I don't trust them. And I know I'll never stand in the bread line, because I have my own bread, and I'm not going to the Superdome, and I'm not going to a FEMA camp. And it's my job to take care of my family. So I've got food that'll last more than 10 years in climate control, 10 years climate controlled, high quality, freeze dried, and also dehydrated, so it's jam-packed in the cans. It's condensed, so it's a lot fits in a small place. 800-409-5633, 800-409-5633. Call and get a free brochure, a free catalog, or a free audio CD about what they have to offer. 800-409-5633. And Steve Shank, the owner of the company, also has his own show from 6 to 8 p.m. Sunday nights after my Sunday abbreviated two-hour program. Also go to eFoodsDirect.com. Then there's also a Cola Blue. This is the amazing atmospheric water generator. By the way, Willie has his own brand of these. And they're really neat. Ventura couldn't believe it. 7 gallons or more, but in the desert about 3 gallons. A day with the basic unit. Very affordable atmospheric water generator for your home. Pays for itself in 1 year if you buy your water from the store. Pure, clean water without the fluoride. Unlimited water from the humidity in the air, 7.5 gallons a day. Great tasting pure H2O, exactly the way nature makes it. Neutral pH. Then it goes through five other filters, so it's no fluoride. 866-585-4044, 1-866-585-4044, or colablue.com. I've had 4 hours to plug my sponsors, and I'm just so focused on the info. Never really plugged the videos anymore. I need to plug Fabled Enemies. This week you can do it. That's a good film. Needs to get out there. But again, ecoloblue.com, ecoloblue.com. And in closing here with the sponsors, Food Shortage USA, fabulous folks. They tell you how inexpensively in your own home to store food. They tell you the secrets to doing that. And it's foodshortageusa.com, foodshortageusa.com. Go check it out. They're not even selling food. It's literature and videos and materials to learn that. Foodshortageusa.com or 877-327-0365, 877-327-0365, foodshortageusa.com. We'll be right back. Like, I'm going to skip this break.
More than
you know what? We've had so much time here that I haven't even gotten to this, and I don't want to not spend time on foodshortageusa.com, so at least for the internet audience, I'm going to give them an extra plug here. Just great materials. Go to foodshortageusa.com to learn how to make your own storable foods for you and your family to prepare for the road ahead. The website reveals a step-by-step way for the average guy to get prepared for what's ahead. I think the best part about the system is it gets you off the food grid, even if you don't have a lot of money to spend. This site, again, is foodshortageusa.com. It's not too late. You can still prepare by learning how to make your own survival foods, and you can do this for pennies a day. Our pennies on the dollar, go to foodshortageusa.com or 877-327-0365. Hold off on that Rothschild thing till we get back to the full audience here at the end. A little bit dingy today. I had like 3.5 hours sleep after two wild days with Jesse Ventura. And an afternoon with Willie Nelson and an evening. It was quite insane. You know, I got to this top story at the start of the show, and I really can't do justice to it. Senator predicts a revolution if banks don't lend, and Senator says that basically they're hoarding all the money. Senator Dodd, same thing we've said, that's in the New York Times. And Paul did a great story on it on prisonplanet.com. Burmish, your take on this?
Well, obviously, I mean, what did they say? They gave their first $25 billion to Chase Manhattan, but they have no interest whatsoever in loaning out any of that money. And all they're going to do is recapitalize themselves. Well, that's not a shocker.
Let's be clear. Gave them the money. These aren't just regular Federal Reserve loans. It's just here, have it.
Yeah. This is not a loan, folks. We gave them this money. And Chase Manhattan is not going down. Me and you both know that, Alex. This is a rock star.
No, it's the
bank kingpin. Yeah.
They're running the whole show.
Yeah, exactly. They're the biggest of the banks. They're not going anywhere. They're the last people that need this $25 billion. Why didn't that $25 billion, Alex, go to the local banks that do have a shot at going out, going to the people that really need it the most? It didn't go there, did it? It went to this empire. And, you know, I can't remember his name, but
it's also international. Most of it's going offshore.
Yeah. And their tie, I think it's I can't remember the name, but he's basically saying, yeah, we're going to recapitalize our banks. We really can't give out any new loans. I wouldn't expect that to happen. In fact, I would expect less loans to be going out.
So here's how it works. We're going to get $5 trillion of your money. That's what they're admitting, and it's not $700 billion. We're going to, you've heard Ron Paul tell you that. It's in Bloomberg as well. $5 trillion. And you can't even see who we're giving it to or see the secret contracts. And we're also paying our own brokerage firms hundreds of billions of dollars at the end of the day to hand out the trillions.
And not only will there never be any oversight over this bill, but it will never be able to be reviewed by any agency, anytime, anywhere, ever.
And if Congress doesn't like it, they tell them publicly, NORTHCOM and the military standing by. You're going to stand here while we take all your money and destroy your future, and you got to pay it all back in taxes. They get the money, we pay for it, and the tax man... I mean, there's more cops, more checkpoints, more tickets, more IRS grabbing houses. They are just going to squeeze us and squeeze us and squeeze us and squeeze us.
That's right. They basically threaten members of Congress with mass bank closures, the little guys, and then that would create riots.
We're going back to the full audience. Go ahead. Here we go. Strange days are here. Finish up with what you were talking about, the banks.
Yeah, I was just mentioning how, you know, they threaten members of Congress by saying all these small banks are going to go under. We're going to have riots in the streets. We're going to have to put the military on the streets and declare martial law. No big deal. So please pass this bailout so we don't have to strong arm you. You know, but that is a strong arm tactic. It's unbelievable we stood up for it, Alex. It's unbelievable that not one person in the mainstream media even reported on that. Thank God for C-SPAN, because without it, we wouldn't even know these members of Congress had been threatened in private meetings.
Well, maybe they're with Al-Qaeda. You don't let the bankers have everything. You're with Al-Qaeda, boy. Mm-hmm. You don't get rid of America, you're not patriotic.
You know, and speaking of bankers...
Yeah, let's get into the...
Yeah, this is a good transition, because the Rothschild family is one of these massive banking families. And here it is, the Telegraph, one of the biggest papers in
London.
Let me
see it, I'll show folks.
Yep, Telegraph, this isn't... I'm not reading this off Prison Planet or Infowars.com. This is mainline media. And let me just read the first couple paragraphs, and we'll get into it and why it's important. Okay? Rather than the eclectic group of rich at play, the shadow chancellor in Europe, was unwittingly made privy to closely guarded relationship between Mendelssohn and the Rothschild family that spanned nearly two decades.
By the way, news, the media a decade ago would say the Rothschilds didn't exist.
Yeah, and now they're saying, oh, well, they have a two-decade relationship with the Parliament, you know? Absolutely. During this time, their business and personal lives had become entwined many times, including on this occasion with their mutual friend, the Russian billionaire Oleg Deripaska, and had forged a far stronger bond than Osborne.
But it turns out every time they bust an oligarch, it's really a Rothschild front in Russia.
Yeah, yeah, with university chum and host Nathaniel Rothschild. Now, why am I getting into this other than the fact that they're showing that the Rothschilds and the government have a huge relationship? Well, it was Nathaniel Rothschild that rolled on this shadow chancellor. Why? Now, what he's saying is, and you know, John Harmon's got the clip. I don't know if we're actually going to be able to get
how
to
long
it.
Is that clip, Harmon?
It's about 5 minutes. But it basically states that Rothschild wrote in to one of the main papers, a letter to the editor, said that this billionaire in Russia was giving Mendelssohn and the shadow chancellor illegal funds, and he's trying to burn them. Why is he trying to burn them?
Well, we know because the oligarchs were fronts for the Rothschilds. That's come out in the Financial Times of London, and so they're now might be losing some control, probably trying to burn him.
Exactly. It makes me think that the shadow chancellor...
Well, we know that's happened before. Yeah,
it's probably going against one of their policies, and now...
No, these guys fight with each other.
Yeah, absolutely. That's
hey,
one of the big things.
Hey, is that clip up on InfoWars? We'll post that Rothschild clip. I got Aaron out there editing all this Willie video that's going up, but look for that this evening to go viral at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. You know what? When you fill in on the show tomorrow or Wednesday, play the clip.
Yeah, we will definitely play that clip. And again,
Harmy will have it.
Yes, John Harmon will have it. The great guy over at GCN.
Harmy and Burmy.
I love John. He does a great job for this network. Everybody here does.
And Paul's got a nickname. What is it? Hoosh? Hoosh, Burmy, Harmy.
What about Jacobson? We got a Robbie.
Robbie. And then there's we've got to give Ventura.
Ventura? Well, I don't want to give him a nickname.
Vinny.
He'll probably end up in my bedroom at 3 in the morning staring at me like a seal would.
He's some of the stuff he's like, if you tell anybody what I've told you, just remember I will be in your bedroom years from now when you don't expect it. We don't get angry. We get even.
And we take our time. It doesn't have to be today, Alex. It doesn't have to be tomorrow. It could be a week, a month, or a year from now.
You know how I deal with poachers? You know how I deal with poachers on my little lake?
I strap my 9mm to my side, and I go right up to him, Alex, and I let him know, this is a private lake. Who gave you permission to go here?
And you know what happens if they give me crap?
I take their bike, Alex, and I bring it to the police.
I take their crap. I take them to the police myself. Hey, we're out of time. Rebroadcast with huge information. Jesse Ventura was on today and others starting right now on the web only at InfoWars.com. Back tomorrow live 11 to 4. Stations for years everywhere. We appreciate you. We'll be back in 1 minute. Stay with us.